This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, 701. It is, just a little after 7, like I said. 701, we are a little tardy. I got a little audio problem. If you are watching us on the audio stream, thank you for watching, listening. We're having a trifle bit of problem with our audio-only stream. We'll get that fixed momentarily. It's Tuesday night. You're in the studio. We call it Studio C with Clayton McKee. That is me. I'm here along with Katie June, Marnie Ryer. Al Perkins is in deep thought looking at an iPad. As it were.
I'm just waiting for us to come up on here, and it's not yet.
Well, it's not going to, because the audio stream isn't going to... That's what clicks the audio stream for that.
Oh.
Yes, it's very important stuff.
Oh, so we can't get to the chat room to tell people what's wrong.
No. Well, we can, because you can just go to the chat. It's actually, if you type in qtalkamerica.com/chat_284729...
Okay, wait,
four.
So we can't get there.
You can't get there.
Underscore.
Yeah. Underscore 284729.html. Swear to God. I put a shortcut on my desktop so I could get there.
You need the
genius.
And she's right there. Look at her. Look at Katie.
And I'm in.
And she's in. Katie June is in the chat room. Well, hello, room. Hello, everybody. I don't know who all is listening, but we'll figure that out in just a little while. Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Hello, hi guys.
We've got bottled water and some sort of a grape soda. Marnie has a tea, I'm going to assume, and some water. And Al has wine that came from a bottle with a screw-off cap.
Yep.
Oh.
And it's my favorite,
most
too.
Convenient.
I'm shocked that it came in a screw-off cap.
Yeah. Don't know if I've ever seen you drink anything out of a bottle like that. It's crazy.
It's new and trendy.
I know, it's crazy. We're getting texts somehow from Joseph, I'm sure. I'm sure he's going to text me in just mere moments. Anywho, welcome to all of you listening, watching, at wherever the hell you happen to be. Thanks for joining us. We're here every week, Tuesday, 7 to 10, right here on Q Talk America. Thank you. Well, hi, guys. Anything new, exciting going on?
Hi.
Katie?
Well?
Start a new diet this week?
Sober October.
Oh!
I like it.
Yeah.
Shit! I like it. Are you serious?
I am serious. I'll join you.
Yeah.
After this.
Yeah. After this week.
Later.
No, after this one.
Oh,
I'll join you after this one.
Really, truly. So I did it. Okay, so I did it last year.
Uh-huh.
And by that, I mean for about 3 days. So
okay.
I made it till about October 3rd
or
4th.
That's why I agreed. Just so that you know. That's why.
However, this year I'm really on the bandwagon.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've just been having a lot of... challenges,
hangovers,
those too. That is not an inaccurate statement.
Well played.
Mm-hmm. But I've been having, you know, Kelly and I have been really, we want to expand our family,
mm-hmm.
and so we've been going through all kinds of fertility mumbo jumbo. I'm not having any problems. I have lots and lots and lots of great eggs, but I've just been on, too many, as it turns out.
Can't pick a favorite.
Yeah, impregnate me, I'd be like Octomom times God only knows.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so no thanks. Yeah.
So no thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to pass. So anyhow, I've been on so many hormones, you know, hormones to do one thing and then that doesn't work. So then a hormone to push something else and then another hormone to flush something else. And so we are taking this whole month completely off. And I figured this was a good...
Yeah.
Sober October 1st, it rhymes. So it's fun to say, easy to like
jump on in.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just thought it was like a good month to just kind of cleanse.
It's a good call.
So
yeah, that's fair.
It's day one.
And it rhymes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like more easy, I think, and fun to stick with.
Sober April doesn't really work.
No. Yeah. Boring.
Yeah. But sober October, that sounds fun. And you screw yourself, though, because isn't October typically like the Oktoberfest beer garden month?
Ironically, Oktoberfest is really supposed to be in September.
Oh, getting ready for October.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know if it just goes back to when, the calendar is really lined up for what month of the year it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because October means eight, but because of a couple Romans, it's not.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
It happens.
There's that. I'm maybe doing a camping weekend. It's rainbows. I'm going up to my parents' cabin for a few days. I have some, like, friends' Halloween parties.
Sure.
So, you know.
It's a challenging month to
stay. It's a tough month. Well, really. But any month that you look at.
The cider, yeah.
There's
going
to be something.
July, I mean, there's pools.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're going to want to drink by those.
August is the one that you can, because there is no holiday in August. That it's You can almost stretch that one out.
Yeah, but there's a Tuesday.
You can stay busy. No, yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Anyhow, so Sober October.
Nice.
Very nice. Lovely. Marty.
Yeah. Well, Bron, if you're listening, I can't drink at your wedding.
Oh, and when is that again?
Oh, well.
Sorry, Bron.
No, actually.
Thank you. All right. Now, I need a Bron update because I was under the impression that he was here in town and I missed him.
He was for like a day.
Okay, bitch.
Yep. Right?
I'm a little upset to not get some kind of a...
Yeah, he was, he came in on Thursday.
A first refusal, a chance to say, yes. No, I don't have time, sir.
Yes, I'm not going to come out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came in on Thursday. I didn't even get to see him. So,
but he will be back, I'm assuming, or you're going there for the wedding?
I'm going there for the wedding.
Oh, because it's their anniversary, mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Yep, it's the three-year
anniversary. 3 years, right, yeah.
Of when we performed the ceremony illegally. That's not the right word.
It's not illegally.
But now legally,
yeah.
We're going to do it.
Without the full blessing of the federal government.
Right.
Who can fuck off?
Now, Ted Olson and company, I can't remember the other gentleman's name, but I remember hating Ted Olson, so his name comes quickly to mind. They are taking on Virginia next. That's the next state that they're going a legal route. Virginia, a judge ruled in New Jersey this week that because of DOMA, any anti-marriage laws were unconstitutional. So it's the dominoes
are really
in line. So
what's Chris Christie going up against? There was something about him wanting to send it to a higher court.
Pull it towards you.
There's no higher court to go to. He wants it to go to a public referendum. He wants wants his name off of it for the Republican primaries. So he wants to do the state's rights thing and have it go to a state's vote.
Okay. I didn't read what it was.
And that way he can not bring it up because they're saying that...
Keep his hands clean.
Yeah, sure. Keep his hands clean to the whole thing. Because he's kind of resigned to it and is trying to clean up his... You know, they want a presidency and they're...
They're not going to get it without that.
No.
He needs to just move forward.
Right, they got to find one minority. The Republicans need one group to not think they're evil.
Yeah.
Start with the gays and work.
Well,
yeah. They have so many that if they got one on their side,
my God,
they would be better off.
That's true. That's true.
But this Virginia one's an interesting one to watch, and it's just Olson and company. I can't remember the other guy's name. Staunch Republicans and very conservative. Like they are the... I've talked about it so much, but they're going after Virginia.
Good.
And they're pretty much just bringing all their notebooks from California and being like, see how this works? See you later.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just going to leave these here. Can you look them over and
browse and
just
peruse
review
them at your
leisure.
That's sexy.
I like it. I like it.
Sexy and you know it.
So today's start of payroll. Obviously, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Always exciting.
Very much so.
Yes. Can you tell me, why is payroll such a pain in the ass? I don't get... I mean, I've never done it.
People are a pain in the ass.
So I don't understand what goes into it.
They don't fill out their time cards. They forget to put in things that they worked because she doesn't...
They don't get them in on time.
Yeah, because she does.
Then you have to call them
self-employed, right? The people that are self-employed or...
Basically, yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? Not
contractor,
free agents. Contract.
So turning in...
I mean, they work for us, but they can... It's easier now because they can... Yeah, yeah. And they can typically enter their own, and Molly works with me, and she does the entering of those who don't enter their own, but people getting them in, doing them right, making them legible. You know, just it sounds so stupid, but it's constant.
And how many employees?
It's gotten better.
Oh, so Molly does work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought Molly was...
No, she's with Orion.
Orion is
the company. We have over 2,000 employees.
Oh, wow. Are you doing payroll for all of...
No.
Oh, okay.
So it's just one of those things where you call and then... The authorizations aren't there.
And it's just people always happening.
According to Clayton, it's every day.
Yeah.
You know, this happens every day.
But it really seems, because I have had friends that have worked in accounts payable, receivable, whatever the one is, that payable, I would imagine, and who equally are just pissed off always about payroll. Anyone that I know that's ever worked in that kind of an industry or in that capacity in their company... Yeah. Never happy.
Yeah, and
it should be fairly simple.
I mean, about this
time of
the month.
It should be fairly simple, but it's just not.
And I just turned in all my receipts for my trip to Philadelphia for my reimbursements, and I thought I had done this fabulous job of organized, made copies, put totals. Oh, I got the email yesterday. Every single thing is wrong.
Oh, no.
Itemize this, itemize that, can't pay for this. I'm like, just cut me a check for whatever on there.
Seriously, come up
with it. Seems fine.
Yeah. I actually did the same thing, and my I was going through something similar with my employer, and she kept emailing me and texting me, and she would be like, "Come on, seriously, it's time for your hours."
When were you on a payroll?
Well, I'm a contractor.
Oh, okay. Because I know so we discussed you don't have a job.
So I worked. I work hourly, right, right. But I'm paid through. I'm paid through the company.
Right. Gotcha. Sure.
And so the other day I was on top of it. I had been tracking my hours diligently. I was prepared. I have like alerts 3 days in advance, one day. I'm like, get this. And the fucking 30th or whatever day was on a goddamn Sunday. And so she needed it the day before. Yeah. So she's like, Katie, where's your time? Where's your hours? I'm like, oh my God.
Damn it.
The one time I was prepared.
You were all ready for it. Yeah. No,
things were looking good. And then the ship sank.
I was the payroll. I was part of the problem.
Usually it's before the holidays that become an issue. And I don't mean Christmassy. I mean anything. Like 4th of July.
Because there's always a like weird glitch.
Right. Or like it's a holiday, so then you need to get things in earlier and you need to do this. And there are times where Molly has just worked her butt off before people enter their own. It was like a 24-hour turnaround. Like that you got it was rather than like 3 or 4 days.
And so how is Molly? I miss
crazy.
Her.
It gets a little crazy. Good, I guess. I think she's doing well.
Good, you guess. I like that. You never talk to her.
No, not I mean, we email as far as work stuff, but it's been, we ran into each other at,
I seem to see her on Facebook more often than not.
Yeah.
Sorry, Stacey's when, my surprise party.
His birthday
She had already left.
Oh, gotcha.
She had already left.
I don't remember.
We went, ran into each other at like a Sweet Tomatoes or a, whatever, just kind of a lunchy thing.
Oh, yes. You were mm-hmm. yes.
I had to teach, so I got there later.
Right, you got the yes.
Yes, I know. I do recall you arriving later, only because I knew you were teaching.
Yes.
Actually, I take it back. I didn't know. I just, when you walked in late, you're like, I had to teach. Yeah. Like, oh, God, of course.
Exactly.
Bingo.
Exactly.
I still haven't come to one of those classes, which I keep saying I'm going to come to.
Well, it'll bore you silly, except for when I like try to wake people up.
Oh.
I'll come.
That's fun.
Cattle prod?
I'm a really good student.
Actually, it's not. They don't usually fall asleep, but I love doing the inflection thing. Because you can do just about anything. You can do jumping jacks in the back of the classroom. I don't give a shit. I have ADHD. I don't give a shit. Do whatever you need to do. You fall asleep. I'm on you.
Oh, wow.
I can't stand that shit. Like, what are you doing?
I had an instructor like that, and he was like, before your head nods, get up and stand in the back.
Do it.
Walk up and down the stairs. Whatever you have to do to stay awake for this. He's like, but I will.
Murder you.
There will be wrath if you're asleep. Oh, and there were so many times where I would just go stand in the back, and I learned just in school and working and sleeping in my car.
With eyes open.
I learned to sleep with my eyes open, and I learned to sleep standing up, and I've done it.
Absolutely.
But it is, when you're in the front of a room and people are either nodding off or I used to run one of the clubs on campus in college, and I made me...
Can't even imagine that.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Crazy when people would be talking, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like this is an extracurricular that we're all here because we want to be here.
Right.
And like, I'm not standing up here lecturing at you. I'm just going over things that we need to do this month. Like,
and allegedly we all want to be here.
And so what the fuck? It used to make me feel, I was like ready for murderous rage.
Right. Well, I'll bring back this conference I went to, and we did a teaching thing. And it was so, and it seemed a little condescending and a little shitty at first, but the woman said it, but I got the tactic almost immediately. She's like, we're all adult learners. We all paid to be here. We're all here for a specific reason, so we're going to act that way, and we're going to get through this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, she just told us all to shut up and pay attention. Right?
But really?
Sure.
But it worked, and everybody was like, all right, then we'll take notes. And
snaps for you.
It doesn't stop me from writing nasty notes about the person sitting across from me.
Sure.
But I'm not talking.
Yes, good.
But the thing is that I like that tactic because you're basically saying, and we're just all adults. So like, if you need to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And if you need this, I'm going to treat you like an adult.
Yeah.
So therefore, let's act like it a little bit.
I like that too, that we paid to be here. Mm-hmm. So
if I want to sleep, I'll sleep.
That's right. But I always love that. But my teachers, when I was in school, because I never talked in school. I don't know why you would think that. Stop it. and I never fell asleep. And that's usually probably why I get pissed when I'm teaching. Because, like, I'll teach tomorrow night, and I'm going to be tired. So I think, motherfucker, wake up.
If I'm here and tired. Right.
Wake up.
Because if I fall asleep, something's going to go wrong during
this. It's going to go horribly wrong. But when I'm standing at the inflection, that's what I found the most useful when I was in school, where a teacher would, la la da, and they're all just doing that. Then I went to the store.
Whoa, hello.
Something important must have happened. They just shouted at me.
What just happened? and you would shoot up and be like, I've been awake for hours. I'm certain of it.
Funny you should notice.
Am I sitting at attention? Fine. But so that's what I use, and all of a sudden everybody else all knows what's happening.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And
those who are
chuckling.
Not sleeping,
right.
So and then they do that thing where when you're in school and after lunch, and you go and you have lunch. And you get back into an air-conditioned classroom, mm-hmm. and I am sorry.
Good night.
Just give me a hammock, because that is the
it's
recipe.
It's hard.
Yeah. Because I can't, like, lay down at home and just turn off my mind and take a nap. Mm-hmm. But if you put me in front of you and you decide to tell me a story about the endocrine system, woo, I am sleeping.
Right.
You'll
right.
never find a sounder sleeper.
Sure.
Best napper. Award-winning.
Award-winning best
Here's
darn
how
napper.
You said before the show started, God, you wish you could nap. You just need to go back to class.
Right.
Sneak in with a blanket and pillow.
Just after lunch. Mm-hmm.
To the back of the classroom.
Slip the teacher a note that says, I didn't pay shit to be in here, but I need sleep.
Or get somebody to stop by your house and just tell you a story.
I'll read out of your medical book.
And that's what I do all the time. Like when like Harrison and I will hang out together, and I don't want to go to bed. I just want to stay on the couch and talk until I fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And then I'm comfortable. If I fell asleep there, guess what? I'm happy.
Yeah.
Not
moving. And Tim would drive me crazy because Tim was the worst. He would always be...
Wake
up and go to bed.
Oh.
Fuck you! I fell asleep!
Exactly.
Why would you kill that?
Because now that I go into the... I'm wide
awake. You killed it. And I'm like, Tim's known me since I was 10 years old, and he was...
still does it.
The worst criminal.
But that's what... So many people think that's what you... Kind of maternally...
Oh, I'm sure you want to go to bed. No.
You need to sleep in your bed. You'll get better sleep.
No, I was fine.
Oh, if we're in the back of a covered wagon going across the Rockies, if I fall asleep, that's good.
I oftentimes will fall asleep in the recliner.
Sure.
And I mean, I'll wake up, you know, 6-7 hours later, and I've slept much better than if I were stretched out in my gel-topped queen-size mattress.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I was saying, last night I woke up, which is just got awful, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30. At 4:30, I was like, fuck this. And I just got up.
So frustrating.
And Kelly said, go sleep on the couch, because what she'll do, too, is if she has that same problem. She's getting sleepy, and then she'll move to the bedroom, and then she's wide awake.
Yeah.
And so she has to sometimes, she'll go into the back room, into the guest bed. She'll just change of scenery try to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's called sleep hygiene.
Oh.
No. Is that really?
Yeah, sleep hygiene.
I did not realize.
So the art of sleep, you have to fix your sleep hygiene.
I call it environmental manipulation.
I think it's like 20, if you don't fall asleep within 20 to 30 minutes, you have to change location.
Oh,
I hadn't heard that. I didn't realize there was a number to it.
You should never have a TV in your bedroom, they say.
Oh,
lights.
I don't agree with that TV.
I don't either.
All I can tell you is that I had a TV forever in the room, and when like the sleep timer would be on, and I'd be in the show.
And boom.
And I'm like, son of a bitch, where's the thing? Because it's right at the end.
Right.
Every time I was right at
the
end.
You just missed the 1 second. Shit.
And then you find the remote and you turn it back on. You're like, well, I'll be goddamned. So now I'm wide awake again. I need to watch the next shows. But the TV being in there, I would stay up and stay up. And I found that even books, people would say, you know, just read a book and it'll put you right to sleep. No, it won't. Because now I have to read the whole book.
That works for me.
I'm like, oh, I'll do one more chapter. Just one more chapter.
That works beautifully to me until it turns into like a page turner.
Right.
Like that Gone Girl that I would have got up and brewed a pot of coffee if there was a chance. Because that book got so fucking good in the last 50 pages.
Okay.
So, but if it's just a book, like the book I'm reading now, 10 minutes in, I'm like, whatever.
Well, I've had insomnia forever. And so I decided to just start. I can't read the book because I'll read the whole book. And now it's 5:30 in the morning anyway. Or watch TV because then I'm watching reruns of The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? What's happening?
Martha.
And in The Twilight Zone. But then I started getting like People Magazine or just something simple because it was, you're not invested in it.
Right.
You just read little snippets. And then if I started, who cares? God.
Right.
You know, then you go
That's
to the
a
next
good idea.
Story.
So. I've always found that if I have news on, because like CNN, they repeat everything every 27 minutes. So I put on a really low volume. And then I will just sleep because it just, for some reason, just keeps my mind on something other than whatever I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, I do that. I do that. I keep this on some kind of talk thing, whether I'll find old YouTube videos of like 30 to 40 minute. Usually it's newscasts. I pick a news event that and everybody has put them on YouTube for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put the newscast on next to me because I already know how the news story ends. But I fall asleep while they're talking about it. And everybody's just chatting. And I don't have to wait up.
That kind of black the black noise in the back there. Or the white noise or whatever it's called.
My cousin Michael and his mom, when they would live out on the farm, they didn't have air conditioning. So they had all these box fans. So they would have box fans on high, and just that white noise sound.
Yeah, they're whirring. That's very soothing.
They still are like that. If I'm not mistaken, my aunt, I know my cousin, he still sleeps with a fan on year-round because that noise, if it's silent, they can't sleep.
Yeah, and our ceiling fan even, I feel like we keep tightening it, but that son of a bitch, every time you turn it on, it's like... But even that now, I need that sound, that like clicking, you know, sound to just fall asleep.
Yeah, my house sitter was like, he's like, this room is really hard to sleep in. I'm like, well, then sleep in my room. I'm like, but why is this room hard to sleep in? I sleep in that room, probably I'm down to like a quarter of the time I sleep in the extra room instead of my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, that ceiling fan makes noise. And I'm like...
I guess it does.
But I find any kind of noise, like I need the white noise. Like I can't because otherwise I'll just hear my crazy fucking brain.
Well, they say that with the TV being on, that it
like that,
that it's more about the
stimulation.
The
light,
So that's why a radio, or having that noise is probably okay. But the flashing.
Well, going back to the TV thing, when I have it on, because I usually sleep on my side, where my TV is there, I'm away from it, so I don't see it. It's just the sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it's like a radio if you don't look at it.
Right, but I can totally sit in lay in that recliner, being looking right at Brian Williams, and be out before him. You know, good evening and welcome to the new.
I was at Jason's house yesterday with the he's got all his couch, the new, whole thing reclined.
Yes, they're lovely.
I was like, oh, you were never getting out of that thing?
Yes.
They're, we'll never see you again.
Aren't they lovely? And did he show you the hideaway little cabinet in the center of the one? And there's like a little, he has the prime television movie watching setup over there.
He was telling us that he has a disease that requires more sleep.
Shane told me that. He goes, oh, that's the latest story. His the dizziness, whatever the hell he's got going on.
Whatever it is. He needs more
requires
sleep.
Requires more slumber.
And I tried very hard. I knew it was going to be a one drink night because I was so tired, and I tried to wait for you.
Oh, no, there's no way. When I text you and I was rolling, and then by the time I rolled through the lot, they were gone. I'm like, I have a sneaky suspicion I know where they are. And they were
at Charlie's,
and Jason was rolling well. Yeah. Shane was the sober one, which is really a rarity.
But they planned it right. Shane drove because Carlton's like, I'm in my cups tonight.
And he was. Bought all new cups, apparently.
I love it.
Yes.
How about you, sir?
Well, it was a fun weekend. I did go to the Sedona Verde Valley Pride in Cottonwood, which was fun. I drove up on Saturday morning, and it's one of those things, like you were talking earlier about how you got the alarm set at 5:15, but you're awake at 4:30. So I left the bar, forced myself to leave like at midnight 30, knowing that I had to be up at like 6:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're up, you wake up about every 30 minutes. Like,
Did I miss it?
Yeah. Right. Am I
when
there
you
yet?
When you don't have to get up with an alarm all the time, when you set one, you're like, oh, God, I can't miss it. Anyway, so got up, rolled up, beautiful drive, beautiful city, that everything set up. It's really cute and small, and it's so much different. I'm so used to, like, the Phoenix Pride or going to Palm Springs or, it's very similar to Flagstaff because the size was maybe a third or a half of the size of theirs, but literally it's in it was in a little city park that they just kind of roped off a softball field, and just a softball field, not a complex, like a quarter. They roped that off. It was very cute. I don't even know what attendance was, but it was like you could walk anywhere. There was no waiting in a line for anything. But they're very chill up there. The interesting thing about up there is so many gays are in there or within there, or live up there, but nobody gives a shit. It's like, hey, we're going to go eat, or we have a wine bar. You want to come over and bring your boyfriend, bring your girlfriend. Nobody cares. It's just very, very chill.
That's how Central Phoenix is becoming. Like,
true.
Maisie's, Postino. The one across from Postino.
Windsor.
Oh, the Windsor, right.
Are they gay bars? I don't know. I'm there all the time.
Half the time, right.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was
half
very nice.
The employees are gay.
We already know all of them, too. Mm-hmm. The other thing was because... They didn't have liquor, they didn't have food vendors. They learned their lesson this year that they need to have food vendors. Because what they were trying to encourage people to do was go, like, just 100 feet down to the corner and enjoy restaurants in Old Town Cottonwood. Mm. Well, the problem is you let somebody leave the Pride grounds, well, they don't come back.
Right, sure.
Because
sure.
those restaurants serve liquor, and they didn't have liquor. They only had beer and wine, okay. which you would have been completely fine with, Al. But yeah. they only have beer and wine at the festival. So I literally sipped on like 3 warm Bud Lights throughout an 8-hour period. And I was done at like, literally done at 8 with the 7 people that were remaining watching the girl that was singing. And sure. so we wrapped everything up, and I realized that the sidewalks had rolled up along with everybody else. Sure. And I'm like, I don't really want to drive 17 miles to Sedona to my room. I'm sober and awake. I'm going home. So yeah. I was back Good. Here by 10:30.
Oh, that's funny.
In bed, sure. in bed by midnight, but I didn't tell anybody I came home.
Yeah, smart.
So nobody
smart.
Texted
Isn't
me.
That
nobody
so
nobody
nice.
Called me. Nobody texted me. Nothing. So that was an enjoyable. Good.
Oh, very
night
nice.
And day. So that was a good time.
It's
it was
just
good.
So and nice to get up there, and you know, it's weather? Not like you have really. I'm not often finding reasons, and you know, when life gets busy, it's just nice to have a reason to go there and enjoy that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. Sedona.
Yeah, and I'm already booked for next year, so we might, maybe if we have more time to plan it, we could all roll up. Sure. Because literally, it's a day trip. You don't have to stay overnight. We can just, you know, roll up.
Oh, and I have to when I go up there because, and we learned it at Flagstaff. Like, when I get up this, and somebody told me it's because of the lack of oxygen at those altitudes with my
those
asthma.
Levels.
That I'm literally oxygen starved. And that's why, because I'm like constantly Super. Yawning and like leaning against trees. Like, I could just lay down.
Still sleeping, standing
and
up.
And honestly, it took me the longest time. Finally, I told my doctor, I'm like, there is just something about me in Flagstaff and Sedona that I am sleepy time. Sure. He's like, yeah, you're probably not getting enough oxygen.
No, that altitude. Not able to breathe,
because
really.
Flagstaff is actually higher than Denver.
Yeah, that's what I had heard. That's
oh, it is?
It's yeah. over a mile high. Oh, so the air is very
I didn't
thin.
I did not realize
I heard that.
That
from somebody. Yeah, so you're like...
So it's the mile and a quarter city.
I will be up there because the weather had to have been beautiful when you were there.
Oh, yeah.
It was In the shade, it was great. It was actually a little warm,
oh,
I thought.
Okay.
Standing out there in the sun, because I was expecting
80s-ish?
To be...
Well, it is very
90s-ish.
Sunny.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Right. Yeah, but now, as soon as that sun went down... You were well. Yeah. I mean, it's similar to what it's doing in the valley right now. Yeah. I mean, the second the sun goes down, you do lose any heat you've got. You go into, but not enough to wear like scarves and gloves and jackets. People
Buddy
really.
Early's posts
God, that was killing.
Yeah, they have been crazy.
And the other night, I was riding.
I must be missing that.
Like, oh God! It's
well,
funny.
He was going off with the fact that, you know, it's 82 degrees. Put the fucking scarf away. It's not. We're not at Nanook of the North
Why
yet.
Why are people saying they're so cold? Nanook
oh
of
my
them.
God!
Well, although I did wake up to go to spin this morning 5:30, I left my house, and it's dark. And normally, you know, all summer I'm used to leaving my house in my bike shorts and a tank top, and I ran out the door. And at 5:30 this morning in bike shorts and a tank top, it was a little
chilly.
Cold.
And I wouldn't even go so far as to say cold, because I didn't turn around and go back in the house for a sweatshirt. But I was like, note to next time I do this,
note
probably
to self.
Gonna want to throw on a little jacket.
Because Thursday or Friday morning, I woke up. And I was I couldn't place the sensation. I really could not describe the feeling I was feeling.
What?
So I decided to go pee, and maybe that would make it clearer. And I looked at my thermostat, and I was like, oh, well, somebody set the thermostat for 72 degrees. I'm like, that's way too cold.
Yeah.
So I'm like turning up. I'm like,
and it's not
it's 72 degrees in here naturally. Yeah. So I pulled the comforter over me because I'm like, 72 degrees in my world is winter. Like,
oh, see, and I think it's
so
delightful.
I had the comforter on.
I think it's
and the, I just snuggled
and I love
up.
It, but in the covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and we had the same thing because we have the ceiling, the work it up ceiling fan, but then we also have
the
like,
work it up. You know, is that like, the sound?
Yeah.
Work it out. I think so. You got something.
Yeah,
oh, that's the bed. Oh, good for you, Katie.
Girl.
Nicely done.
With this noise.
And we have the other little floor fan, too. Anyway, I love being in the mornings lately when I've been like.
Because this was like 72 degrees with the ceiling fan on hurricane.
Yes.
Oh,
that's good.
My down comforter is, and it sits on the floor all summer, all neglected. So to actually pull it up over me.
And it's happy.
Well, I don't know if any of you saw on the Facebook, like you're on the Facebook there.
okay, Grandma.
The other night I was riding through the neighborhood and it's like 70. I think it was like 72 degrees. I think that's what the temperature. No, it may have been warmer. Somebody's got a fucking fire.
Come on,
really?
It's
oh,
a
you can
talk,
no, you can totally
early
smell
early
the fire.
I fully agree with pretending there's seasons here. I will put on the costume,
but maybe the end of October. Like,
right.
Wait for a little while.
Yeah,
to
it's
pretend.
Just. it's warm for a fire in your house.
Yeah, I mean, come on, a little bit.
Unless you're burning things in the backyard of your exes. So who cares?
If I was having a, like a party and I was and we were pretending it was a late September party, I would do it.
Apple cider.
But, like,
bring out the full costumes.
And at my house, there's a fire pit, and it's way up. We'll go out there. You can make the fire. Fine.
Oh, that's what I thought you meant, like a fire
pit.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure this was a fireplace. It smelled of...
Oh, no. We're nowhere near a fireplace.
I'm fine of a little mini bonfire in the backyard. Yeah. That's different. No, this really gave the aura. This was a fireplace somebody had going.
All right.
Well, and speaking of the Cottonwood area, that's where I'll be this weekend, performing a ceremony.
Oh my God, the Rev Rye is in full effect.
Who's getting married there?
Our friends Maggie and Shauna are having a ceremony up there for all their friends in Arizona. And then they will be flying to Massachusetts to have it legally performed. And that's where Maggie's from, so all of her other family will be there. This is very exciting.
Along the lines of what you were just talking about, the unions that are permitted up there, I did have the pleasure while I was there. Twice I introduced and met the mayor of Cottonwood, lovely lady. Diane Jones is her name. And she spoke at the very beginning of their pride. They opened pride with the Mingus Union High School choir. All the choir kids singing the national anthem.
I love it.
And like all diverse. And the kids just all hung out. Like there was no big deal. Nobody cared. It was gay pride, but everybody hung out.
Then
the mayor came back about 3 o'clock when more people were there, and I introduced her and then followed her with the mayor from Sedona. Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name.
Mr. Mayor, but Sedona
being the fourth city in the state of Arizona to do the civil union, so that was kind of nice. And I asked him, I said, well, how would you like to be introduced? This is well before he was going on, and he said, well, nothing in particular, but just be sure to mention my good looks and intellect.
That's what he said to you.
So I enjoyed it very much.
So I forgot that. When he came off stage, I said, well, Mr. Mayor, I'll be staying in your fair city this evening. He said, well, be sure to have a drink on me. And I'm like, oh, you have an open tab? He goes, yeah, just tell him to put it on the mayor's tab. You'll be fine.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
And I don't know how that works because that was something last week.
The mayor doesn't have a tab.
Stop, I say.
Okay.
Foiled. I was going to check that out this weekend,
right, exactly.
Mayor. Yeah, I'm friends with Clayton.
Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm. That is only for Sedona,
right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So when it's you're saying Cottonwood
No, city proper, whatever.
Because that was something I thought about last week, and then it went away until just now. I was like, wait a minute. Maybe we can do this legally next week, but
No.
Yeah, or this weekend.
Yeah, Tucson, Sedona, Jerome, and...
Bisbee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if it was kind of an all-encompassing. So that would have been kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it still would be very fun.
All in all, great weekend, good times, and, this week's, we're only into Tuesday, and this week's already been a hell of a deal. Be sure to verify information. Somebody gives you information and... verify it. Make sure it's right.
Confirm.
That's really... Yes, confirm. What is it? What is that phrase? There's a phrase that's something similar to that.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Trust but verify.
Trust but verify. I like it.
Something to that effect.
That sounds fair.
Yeah, I like it. 7:33.
God, we trust. All others pay cash.
Exactly.
And don't call yourself God.
No.
Don't try to foil him.
It's enema. 7:33, Tuesday night. It's the show with Clayton McKee alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. We'll be back in just mere moments with more Pride headlines. And I've got a lovely letter to read you from two loving neighbors.
You're listening to Cute Talk America.
I'm straight.
I'm gay.
I'm bisexual.
And I give a damn about equality.
Want to know why?
Because one hate crime is committed approximately every hour of every day in this country.
Imagine walking down the street and wondering if this is the day you'll get beaten up or even killed simply because of who you are.
Because many gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender teens who come out to their parents are thrown out of their homes.
Imagine confiding in the people you trust most, only to be rejected and tossed out with no place to go.
Because during the past 16 years, over 13,000 men and women have been discharged from the military for being gay.
Imagine being willing to sacrifice your life to protect and defend this country, only to be kicked out of the military because of who you love.
These are just a few of the reasons why we care about equality.
It is time for things to change.
We all have to get involved.
We all have to give a damn.
I give a damn.
Do you?
Join us at wegiveadamn.org to learn more.
This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Alrighty, some headlines. Most all are true as well. On this Tuesday night on the show, we'll see if we can get through this somehow. Well, George H.W. Bush attends a same-sex wedding.
Sexual frustration in Wisconsin.
A CNN host asks, would you give up your salary?
Drugs, drugs, and more drugs.
It's a mother-daughter crash-up derby.
Who has the biggest need for condom size?
A senior citizen takes a beating inside a McDonald's.
Michelle Bachmann, subsidized health and crack cocaine.
And a letter from a friendly neighbor. These and, well, more hilarity just coming up moments from now.
Hilarity,
as it
were. We're going to even try to do it now. Not even moments from now. We'll do it now. Good. Well, we're going to start out in our favorite place. Where is it?
Florida!
Well, it looks like this dude apparently flipped his burger at a fast food restaurant. Herbert Berganza, 20 years old, allegedly started yelling obscenities and banging on the counter at a McDonald's in Orlando. This, according to deputies talking to ABC News affiliate WFTV. Berganza then reportedly packed a whopper of a punch and delivered it to a 69-year-old man and even followed him into the restroom where he repeatedly pounded the senior citizen over and over. All because he was mad that someone stole his money. At least, that's what he later told a judge, according to the report. He was charged with aggravated battery with great bodily harm to a person over 65 years of age.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Gotta have that McDonald's.
So did you think Seriously. The old guy stole your change? I don't know what the hell that was. I mean, wow.
Well, you'd think the Whopper was from Big Mac or from Burger King.
Right, but the cute, the writer of the story was really just playing on, you know.
Cute.
Yeah.
I like it.
It was very good. Go ahead.
Very smart.
Very smart.
Well, there's some sexual frustration in Wisconsin.
No.
No.
Weird.
Weird.
Right? I mean, we've talked about the whole humping the couch thing,
fucker,
remember?
Yeah.
That was so strange.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff like that, but there's a 52-year-old gal, and God bless Terry Boyd, because she's super pretty.
Aww.
We can go ahead and pass that around.
Just she's pretty as a picture.
She's a looker.
Well, that is a picture.
Well, it is a picture. And that's
I remember
all.
The first time I did math.
No, oh, that's the next story.
She's nice.
She's a pretty gal.
She's nice.
She faces some different criminal charges.
I think she does her own hair.
Really?
Well, does your dress have to go over your head?
The worst thing that she probably could have been arrested for is being the worst roommate. Apparently, she would barricade two men, one being her roommate, in her home and wouldn't let them out unless they had sex with her.
That a girl.
Really?
Is that a sexual position?
Get it how you
barricade?
Can.
Well, that was until the cops showed up.
Have you seen her picture?
Yeah, no. She,
how else is she getting it?
But seriously, come on. Anyway, the guys were like, oh, you know, poor son of a bitch. So they didn't want to press charges against her.
Did they do it?
She wasn't even arrested. No, they didn't have sex with her. They apparently got out of it. And,
no,
you know,
they
chewed their own arms off.
They did.
Stop. Because, right? you've seen the picture.
And then dialed 911 with their nose. She later on had to go to the hospital because she complained that the police, when they came, had roughed her up a little bit.
Sure.
Right?
Well,
of course, she needed some kind
police
of.
Police may do.
She needed some kind. She's probably like, I need someone to check me vaginally. Probably.
Stat.
Right.
Somebody get up in there.
I'd like to put that same request out.
Did
to
you
Phoenix.
Just say somebody get up in there? Hello,
somebody.
Hello.
Somebody.
That's sexy.
Anyway, there was disorderly conduct. She went off on she didn't get off. She went off on the medical.
She's still waiting for that. Have you seen her picture?
Can she take out her teeth? What's left of them?
We're not sure.
Too late. Dirty out.
Oh, poor thing.
Too late.
Poor gal.
Poor thing. Anyway, so she apparently became combative with the medical personnel. So the boys didn't have her arrested, but she got herself arrested anyway.
Good for her.
Well played.
Good to have a goal.
Well played. Now, about 2 weeks later, she apparently barricaded her roommate in a bedroom and refused to let him out again.
Good. A sex again?
Yes.
Good.
For that purpose. Now, maybe the roommate needs to be like, move.
Try not to get between. Try not to get in between the assailant and the exit.
Exactly.
Now, why in the world? So anyway, they had to force the police came again, had to force their way in, and Boyd faced an additional false imprisonment charge on top of the you know, beating up the medical personnel.
She's a busy
Unfortunately
girl.
Unfortunately for her roommate, though, boy,
a lot
did
of sexual
post,
frustration.
She posted the $1,500 bond and was released from custody. So
good.
He really better change the law.
Oh, so she's got a job. I mean, she can post bail. God bless her.
Well, somebody posted.
She should be able to.
She's got something in the win column. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe she's a prostitute.
Maybe.
Apparently not.
No.
Well,
that's my point.
I just went backwards on that
she
one.
Is,
no,
she's
minute.
Not. And if she is, she's using somebody else's picture in her ad
right,
because
absolutely.
That ain't selling yeah. nothing.
No, not $1,500 worth of anything.
No, probably
nope.
not.
Anyway, there you have
nope.
it.
There you
and
have it.
And we don't
it.
Know that she has an attorney.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
at this point.
That's shocking.
Somebody's going to go pro bono on that, I'm probably sure. Up into the...
Pro boner? What?
Either way.
I've been pro boner for a while.
Fair enough.
Allegedly.
Exactly. Oh, yay.
Let's go to the upper eastern United States in Monmouth, Maine. Police say a mother and daughter are facing charges after ramming each other's cars during a dispute in a Monmouth, Maine cemetery. Resulting in damage to several headstones. Police say 42-year-old Melissa Grant and 20-year-old Savannah Lowe, both of Winthrop, were arrested after the demolition derby Friday in Monmouth Ridge Cemetery. Police Chief Kevin Merlin tells the Kennebec Journal that Lowe wanted to keep Grant from leaving the cemetery because the daughter thought her mother was too drunk to drive. The daughter then hit her mother's car with her vehicle, then the mother hit the daughter's car. Several headstones were knocked down or broken, causing an estimated $35,000 in damage. Both were arrested and held over the weekend on charges including aggravated reckless conduct. It was not clear if they had attorneys at the time of press.
And shouldn't Mama Bear have gotten a DUI out of that? Because she was operating the vehicle. She wasn't going far.
Private property. I don't know if they got private property.
Oh, in Arizona, somebody got pulled over. I think they actually backed out of their driveway. All they were doing was backing their car out, like barefoot in their pajamas to let... the roommate out and got a DUI in their pajamas.
Sure.
No.
As long as you're behind the wheel.
Well, I understand that, but I'm going to guess that probably because they're on private property that there's nothing they can do. Just put cider for being stupid.
You don't actually even have to be behind the wheel.
You can be as long as the keys are in the ignition, is it?
The keys don't even have to be in the ignition.
You have to have the keys in
the intent. If the keys are in your possession
even in the glove box,
even
right?
able to be accessed by you and you are near the car and you are drunk.
Right.
And they
think
that you're going to drive.
I guess I wasn't listening then.
Yeah, that's, we learned that one at the bar because you couldn't even be near the car. Because people would sleep in their car. And they would get in trouble because at any point they could wake up and start driving, so they would get arrested. Sure. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't get extremes, though. That was the nice thing, is they wouldn't, since they weren't actually
You're just
driving,
sleeping drunk in your car.
Yeah, they would just get the driving while impaired or whatever it is, but they wouldn't get the extremes, even though they easily could have breathed a Diana Ross level.
Yeah, dangerous.
Which is the benchmark.
Dangerously
That's
Diana
the benchmark
Ross.
Of where we go.
Oh, I think Tyler. I don't know.
No, I don't think Tyler's there because we don't have an audio only stream tonight. So doesn't he only listen to the audio only? He doesn't watch.
No,
us.
I think he watches.
Oh, I didn't think he watched. Maybe I don't know where Tyler is.
Hi, Tyler. If you're
because he wasn't here last. Oh yeah, now the chat room left again.
What do you mean left again?
We ran away.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because like the chat button's gone.
Oh, well again, I can teach you how to get there.
No, I'm there because I got there.
Oh, like, okay. Gotcha.
The audio stream was working a while ago.
Oh, gotcha. Well, yeah, but no, it's a challenge. I'm not sure. I'm screwed. Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Mom.
All right. So there are a couple of different drug stories, and I'm just kind of putting them together because there's a really cute couple. They may be
this is a night
or
of
may
pi-
not
night of
be.
Pictures.
Yeah,
it is,
I like
it is.
This.
May or may not be her kids.
Related.
I'm not sure.
Oh.
But they're real good looking. This one.
Which way did he go?
so there's that. God bless him. And then... She would we think that she fell down, like took a digger right in the middle of a street on gravel,
off her bike,
motorcycle, maybe no helmet,
meth,
40 miles of bad road,
or meth,
and that's just her face.
I gotta see those.
Wow.
Stillwater's couple, Stillwater,
Oklahoma,
Stillwater, Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. Oh. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's a Stillwater in so many states.
Yes.
Yeah, there is. Stillwater couple's puck-faced cross-eyed mugshots double as anti-meth advertising. I mean, really. I know. Now, there was, there's this considering, don't want your kids to do meth, plaster the mugshots of these two on little Johnny's wall. And you don't need to really worry about it. 23 and 25.
Wow.
So young. Felony drug charges after they were arrested at Lakeview Hospital last November. She's in the car freaking out. Why? Because she's been on meth for like 5 days.
and awake for 5 days.
And awake, yeah, and whatever else, right? So she was extremely agitated. She's flailing all over the place, and she's in the car.
Flailing.
The police. She apparently was looking for her boyfriend's finger.
Oh my gosh.
He wasn't in the car.
Oh, okay.
He's not in the car.
Are we sure that a finger's not like a word we use for something else?
It's not one of the good
she
fingers.
She falsely believed it had been severed and lost somewhere inside the vehicle. Mm. That's a hell of a drug.
Oh.
Turned out that
it's
her boyfriend.
Hell of a thing.
So her boyfriend apparently is inside the hospital getting treated for a cut to his finger.
Oh, just a cut, not a sever.
She made a much bigger.
Oh my gosh.
She's a drama queen.
That's sexy.
But she's a meth queen, that's for sure. Anyway, the EMTs couldn't help but notice the severe pockmarks, scarring, and scabs on the woman's face.
You can see them.
How do you miss it?
God damn.
I couldn't help but notice that. You look like you've been pecked to death by a bird.
Right.
Now,
everything all right at home, dear. Yeah.
The guy may not have seen it because he's looking that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. But
he's never actually laid eye on it.
Well, based on the picture, he's got one lazy eye. He's looking at something. What the hell? All right.
He never laid eye on it.
Just to his left. Something exciting is happening.
So there's a neat capto-hypodermic syringe sitting on the driver's seat.
More
charges.
Okay,
ensued.
Now I have to claim almost total ignorance, even though I have a story about it coming up in entertainment. But
similar.
Nice segue.
So you can shoot up meth?
Oh, yeah. I honestly have no idea.
Me neither.
Yes.
Oh, got a yes.
Yep.
We're
going to yield to the girl from Nantucket.
I have never shot up meth. Let me just put that out there.
Good to know.
But to know.
But you can.
Yeah, you.
I'm sure that you can.
Yeah, you can.
Damn near. I mean,
I think you can put just about anything in your. I mean, I would. Anything that can be put down into a powder form and cooked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and it makes her face look like that. Now, what I also don't know is if. I mean, based on.
She's a CoverGirl model.
Yeah, well. Cover it up.
She's the before picture.
Yeah, right.
Very effective.
Very nice.
Now, I don't know. Based on that, I don't know what methyl does, but that almost looks like she was just scratching herself.
Well, that's just, you think bugs are coming out of you.
Sometimes there are just really horrible delusions. And I think that your skin just gets bad anyway. I mean, I've known people that have been on drugs, you're putting all of these things in your body. And so, you know, you're poisoning yourself. And so your skin gets bad and you might get a little... You get a pimple or a boil or you know your skin is kind of doing this and you just dig at it.
Friend of God bless her, a friend of my mom's had a meth problem years and years and years before. She had been a nurse and she would that's why I say flies. Like she would be like, there are bugs in here. There are bugs everywhere. Oh my God, there are bugs. And she'd be like, don't you see them? And like be picking and scratching and opening up her skin. I mean, it's just craziness. But I didn't know if any of you had heard of this. Something, and I'm going to mispronounce the shit out of this. It's European.
I got this. I've been looking at photos all
crocodile?
Week. Well, it's crocodile.
It is crocodile.
Well, okay. I wondered. In Russia, it's crocodile.
Okay.
But it's crocodile because it makes you look like you have crocodile skin.
Got it. Okay, that's what. Have you heard of it?
I just heard there was two cases in Arizona that two people have already gotten it and
worst drug in Arizona. It says the first reported cases of people using it in the country was here, apparently. And excuse me, it's the moonshine version of heroin.
Yeah,
is what they call it.
Oh, I've been watching YouTube videos all week. I've been obsessed.
Because I saw this. That's what led, and then that thing came up, and I saw her face. I thought it was the same thing. Two Russian brothers were actually positively fried from using the stuff for a year. So it only takes like very short.
I think
short
they say within if you use regularly for 2 to 3 years, you will die because you'll lose all of your skin and your muscle and your bone and your body just disintegrates.
It is your largest organ and your best defense against infection is the skin.
Yeah. So
unreal.
And if I can, because I know you have some here, but I know that so my cousin actually was telling me a little bit about that it actually was initially manufactured by scientists in the United States and I can't remember for what purpose, but there was initially when they were doing this, there was supposed to be a potentially positive outcome making this kind of drug, and I don't know what for,
sure.
But it got in the wrong, you know, it got in the wrong people's hands. They realized that this was no good.
Or we sent it to Russia.
Yeah. Or we sent it to Russia. Yeah. So what happens?
like all bad gifts, they returned it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So if you have like a handful, because I don't know the measurements of drugs, but what I know is that if you have this much, a handful of heroin, okay, cost $10, $100. And it's more difficult to come by because you don't have all of the ingredients. It's harder to make heroin, apparently. This much.
Poppy,
same amount. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
flowers, yeah.
Same amount of this crocodile is $10 to make. And you make it in your kitchen using things like ethyl alcohol.
So meth.
Gasoline.
Yeah.
Wow. Gasoline. Which I can't imagine being in the throes so deep.
Antifreeze is what's in meth.
Of a drug addiction that I'm going to put gasoline, inject gas for my car.
And that's, and then
they literally go to the gas station and get it from the pump.
What are they going to do now? Say you can't buy gasoline?
Yeah, the stuff
they do that with
the cold medicine. That's another thing that's in it. The codeine is another big piece of it. So you bring it home, and what they said is
But she means the epinephrine, the pseudoepinephrine.
Oh, yeah, that's the meth. No? That's the meth, because this is more like a heroin drug.
But they mix that with antifreeze.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right. And rat poison, all kinds of crazy shit.
Daikon. So
this in for a penny, in for a pound. I like
and
say.
They and here's the thing about this drug too.
Can I have some more?
When you apparently this drug only lasts the high lasts for 90 minutes, 60 to 90 minutes. Where heroin, it will last all day. So people are you're injecting more and more and more and more of this.
And because you're so fucking drugged out, you don't realize how cost effective it would be just to do heroin.
It eats your body from the inside out. And have you seen these photos?
I won't even lie. Until
it's terrifying.
Until one rolls through and I have to look at it, I just don't want to.
Terrifying.
Because it makes your skin look like crocodile skin. Like it's scaly and
so to on some green. People, that's what I thought you were going to show. Because some people look like that. But it, there are people, and this is not a joke, there are documented cases, their flesh is literally falling off. Mm-hmm. There was a woman in a hospital, her arm bones are exposed. She has, it's nothing but bone. Nothing but just bone. Everything's eaten away. There was a video of someone getting his leg. He went into like some hack doctor and they sawed his leg off. His leg was gone from below the knee. So they were just sawing away at the bone. And people who are emaciated, just sick with this disease and addiction, whose extremities are this big, like tree trunks, because they're so infected, and their skin is—it's like leprosy. Your skin is just sloughing off of your body.
And the shame is that,
and it'll be in Apache Junction by the end of the week,
right? Well, probably the shame is that people are what you're like when you're saying I can't fathom chasing that high. That people are like, oh, and they hear about it. The person I was talking about with meth, the flies and everything else, she couldn't watch commercials for Advil. Like new commercials that would come out for a pain medication, like Advil or ibuprofen-y kind of thing. I wonder what that does for you. I wonder how that pills, the creamers, amaretto creamer, anything like
doesn't
anything
want that
drugs
taste.
Or alcohol. Like, oh, I bet that's like people go after that. Yeah. I mean, it's such a
looking
craving.
For
and right, something as similar as possible.
It was Facebook. A friend of mine who's a recovering addict. Who lives out of state now, but he said, there were some people kind of talking and saying, how could you ever thank God that these videos are getting out now in hopes of deterring young people from saying that might be cool because you see what it does to you. It will do this to your body.
But then there's posters of meth people all over the place, and then you see them on the street.
And this friend of mine, this recovering addict, said, I would have done it. He said, if I was still doing drugs and this came through my neighborhood, I'd try it.
Because they want to know what the high
and
is.
And I'd get hooked. And,
well, think about bath salts.
Yeah, I got $10 today.
Yeah. Think about bath salts. Users, the documented cases, users included a naked guy who threw himself against concrete walls.
A naked guy.
A man who destroyed his family's house. A man who believed an automobile raped his daughter. A man who thought little Mexicans, I thought of Clayton here, thought little Mexicans were knocking on his eyes. Eyeballs.
Racist.
A man
knocking on my eyeballs.
Apparently, a man who made out with a steering wheel, a man who fought imaginary bugs in a coffee shop, and more. But it's like, are you kidding? And it's almost impossible to live in Arizona and not know of a tale, which I did not know of a meth head doing something absolutely insane, like a meth head putting a baby in a freezer.
Oh, yeah.
I had not heard of that.
Oh, yeah, it was because the floor was so filthy.
I do recall that one.
We did that story
on
here.
I think we
did. I don't remember.
I don't remember doing that story.
So I read it somewhere. But yeah, the floor.
I remember reading that, but I don't remember doing
it. I'm pretty sure we talked about it on here.
We may have.
That it was better to put the baby in the
freezer.
There
were cockroaches everywhere that he thought it was safer for the baby.
Yeah, because we had the pictures. Yes, because you had the pictures.
I remember looking up video.
Yeah, there was pictures of the kitchen. No, we did that on here.
Oh, jeez. We do a lot of things on this.
We are just light and uplifting, happy as Larry. Oh, yeah. But if you want to, and because of, I'm pot smoker.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Al. But I'm not familiar with the other ones. And I just, if I think somebody's a little tweaky, I walk away. I just have no real interest in knowing you. So I saw this movie called Bug, and it's Tracy Letts, playwright, Tony winner from last year as an actor. He wrote this movie Bug with Ashley Judd and Michael Shannon about the couple in the hotel room and I thought it was a movie about bugs. Like, I watched the whole thing, and I did not understand that they were just meth heads in the room, and it's, like, escalating paranoia and very, very graphic. And it was excellent. I think it's one of her best movies. Just such a real, honest performance. And I just thought it was about mental illness or paranoia or – I had no idea what they were doing. And it was a story about meth addicts and just getting into that cycle until you eventually just tear your skin off.
Well, is that so? Leaving
here,
Las Vegas,
here I thought I was watching a lovely movie about bugs. I did not understand. Somebody had to explain it to me.
A bug's life is totally different.
Sure. Yeah, yes. It is. That was an ant. Yep.
Whew. Well, shifting.
How long ago was that?
2006.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just looked it up. Sorry, dear.
I'm sorry. Shifting huge gears. Former President George H.W. Bush presents I just fucked up that. Hold on. Let's start over again. Former President George H.W. Bush's presence as a witness and a guest at the marriage of two women in Maine last weekend is being treated by some as his quiet endorsement of same-sex marriage. For the record, the Associated Press writes that Bush spokesman Jim McGrath says that only the former president and his wife Barbara Bush attend the marriage of friends Bonnie Clement and Helen, I'm going to screw this up, Thorgelson, as private citizens and not representatives of the office of the President of the United States. On her Facebook page...
But they are endorsing gay marriage because they went to one. They weren't protesting.
Yeah. Right. On her Facebook page...
And he signed the witness.
Yeah, he was the witness to it. Right. Yeah. That's an endorsement, dear.
On her Facebook page, Thorgelson posted a photo of the 89-year-old Bush signing the marriage license with a caption saying, "Getting our marriage license witnessed," she wrote. In an email to the Washington Post, Clement says the couple has known the Bushes for many years, and the Post writes this, quote, this is such a wonderful time for change in our legal system, she added. Who would be best to help us acknowledge the importance of our wedding as our friends and the former leader of the free world? When they agreed to do so, we just felt that it was the next acknowledgement of being real and normal. Clement, 60, and she said she and Thorgelson, 55, have been together for 12 years, during which she helped raise her new wife's now adult daughters. The AP also reminds us that Bush was in the White House when gay marriage... Bush was in the White House when gay marriage wasn't as big of a political issue as it is today, and one of his sons, being dumbass, former George W. Bush, opposed same-sex marriage in 2004, announced his support for a proposed constitutional amendment to outlaw it, but George's wife Laura and their daughters Barbara support gay marriage, as does George W. Bush's former vice president, Dick Cheney, who, in lieu of shooting somebody,
had a daughter. They all knew a gay person.
Yeah.
Right.
How does that change? Because you meet a gay person
and
you think,
realize,
I'm being shitty.
Like, you admit that you've met a gay person.
But George H.W. still against it, right?
No,
he's still
H.W. I'm sorry, George W. He's still against it.
He's painting his feet in a bathtub now. Like, he has gone full on tarred.
Full on.
Oh, Dub.
I mean that in the something nicest. About Mary. Now, what's the movie? Not something about Mary. Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
You know the tarts pants are completely off now, right?
I know who the winner is.
I know.
Gong.
I know. Good Lord. Are we on cops? Are we on cops?
Cops.
Documentarians are not allowed to interfere with the subjects in any way.
Oh, for the love. Well, we've made it through hour one. We still have a few more headlines to go through, including...
When he runs into the window.
Also, coming up, Al's going to give us our drinking word. We've also got entertainment, some sports coming up, and then just lighthearted chatter for the rest of the time.
We've got two hours
to go. You're in studio. Studio C with the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton here along with Katie, Marnie, and Al. We'll be back moments from now right here on this internet station. Stay with us.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening again, 8 o'clock. It's the beginning of hour two on this Tuesday night. You're in Studio C with The Show. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. We do this every Tuesday, 7 to 10, right here on Q Talk America. Thanks for joining us. If you are at home in your car, on your iPod, at the gym, thanks for taking time and joining our little party of desperation and liquor.
True story.
Something like that. We typically kick off hour two with something we call a drinking word or a drinking game. So if you want to play along, we encourage you to do so. And it starts something like this.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our drinking phrase today is, that's sexy.
All right.
Okay.
And I also like it sarcastically, too.
that's sexy.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Okay. Now, does this have an origin somewhere?
Yesterday, Carlton decided... We went out as homeless people last night. Was our costume
Halloween
du jour.
Came early.
Yeah. And we really put almost no effort into our appearance last night. Barely shaved, clothes may have been washed, and we wandered,
allegedly washed.
We wandered into Stacy's for karaoke, and I could not have cared less what was going on around me. And something came on and Carlton started doing this horrible dance.
Like Elaine from Seinfeld?
Yeah, but, and I was like, that's sexy. That's sexy. I
almost spit that out.
And
that would have been sexy.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was killing me and Shane. And then Jason took it up as some kind of a challenge to do a more horrible dance each time.
Love it.
I'll have to ask him about this later on if I run into him or Shane, either one.
The sexy horrible dance off.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic to watch.
So
sexy.
Yes.
I think we should discuss penis size.
Yes. That's sexy.
Well, I'm not sure, depending on how long this conversation is.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
Really more about the girth.
Well, that's true. I won't tell you.
Not the size of the ship, my ass.
Oh, no, exactly.
It won't be long.
Only people with small dicks tell you that.
Yeah.
That means they got themselves a little hovercraft.
Yeah.
Condomania.
Oh, is that a store at the mall?
Condomania began marketing. They fit condoms.
They fit.
6 years ago.
Okay.
Called They Fit.
They Fit.
Mm-hmm. It's sexy.
Sexy.
No kitty kitty.
No big kitty.
No, that's my chunky chicken pat pat.
Wow.
Mom, kids been mean. Mom, kids look at the cup again.
Oh, goddamn Cartman. I'll tell you a story about South Park later. Go ahead.
Wow.
Well, there's a set of 76 varied sizes. Of condoms.
76?
Oh, condoms. All right.
Varied size. Well.
Yeah. Okay, I was assuming there'd be more sizes of penis.
You do the math.
I remember 76 trombones, but that's totally different.
I was told there'd be no math today.
So, anyway.
$100 worth of crack?
This study.
$100 worth of heroin.
It swelled to more than 27,000 men.
Huh?
not sexy. Swell.
Okay, got it. A whopper of a.
I'd like to swell on 27,000 men.
Well, see, the curve runs from three inches to 10 inches, and there's a bell curve halfway between 5 and 6 inches.
It's when they curve down.
I knew that was not sexy.
The curve so now, down, you're like
broken down.
Left turn.
The list of most well-endowed citizens.
John Hamm
is topped by. Made me laugh. No, the city.
Oh, who's
how did they know?
Because there are 27,000 men that they have.
Oh, so they're going by like what size condoms we got? Everybody's buying up a size.
Which you guys don't know they fit condoms?
Like tube size.
There's like a whole sizing chart actually on their website.
Shut up. Uh-huh. Did you Google that?
I sure did. You actually print this out. That. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
You printed up. That's awesome. I did not go that far.
I think she's there right now.
Where do you think Kelly Phoenix listen. Maybe fell in this? Where do you think the range is for Phoenix? 1 through 20.
I've run into some happy things here. So,
okay. So wait.
Is one
our happiest, or 20
right.
is our
right.
is, are the Asians?
Yes.
Okay. I just
I they
intentional racism.
Sexy. They prefer golf pencil. Because that's
very
sexy.
Nice. That's sexy.
I see you're packing a golf pencil.
Yeah. Putt golf.
Par for the course.
I'm assuming your favorite phrase is it in?
Are we doing anything?
Yeah. Am I hurting you? No, dear, you're annoying me.
Exactly.
So, yes, one would be most endowed.
Okay, one is the one. Okay.
Yes.
So where do we think Phoenix lies on this chart from 20 to 1?
Mm-hmm. I say 8.
What do you think, boys? 8?
Yeah, I was going to go probably somewhere in that 7-8 range, yeah.
Well, give yourself some credit because it goes at 5.
Oh!
That's right.
Hey, Phoenix.
Hey, yeah. Well played. New Orleans is number 1.
Sure.
Nollins.
Liars.
Washington, D.C.
Well, I'm thinking a couple different reasons.
More
for
liars.
Oh, that's such a lie.
Oh, that's such a lie.
Washington, D.C.
Now,
politicians.
Actually, no, if you're looking at the general population of Washington, D.C., it tends to be pretty ethnic.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, too.
Which is why I chose the number I did for Phoenix. Because you got, they're all flooding in from down south of the border.
Are they scratching your eyeballs?
No.
Okay.
Tiny Mexican.
Hold me closer, Diego. Tiny Mexican.
Tony Danza. Oh, the bitches.
Oh, they love it.
Sexy.
They love it when I sing to them.
San Diego was number 3. New York City, number 4.
These are all tourist places.
I'm telling you.
These means all the big dicks are coming swinging in from somewhere else.
Well, number 5 is Phoenix, and number 6 is Portland. So, I don't know.
So, 6 is probably the first one.
So, who is number 1, or have we got to that yet?
New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans is 1. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's Cajun.
No. Dallas-Fort Worth is number 20, just to give you kind of an idea.
But they got a lot of brothers down in Nolan, so I'm wondering if that's the curve. That's the curve
that's
right there.
But the Cajun.
I don't know much about them.
They're dark.
So look at this. So you print this out, okay? So for listeners at home, you print this page out.
I expect you all to do this for next week.
To ensure that you have
you don't
the
need
proper
to give us the results.
Printing size, you put your bank card here to make sure if your bank card fits here, then your paper is sized right.
Shut up.
Yeah, bank card here.
Can you actually just send that to my printer right now? Send it to the wireless.
Oh, yeah.
Send it to the printer. Print a couple copies of that, and we need to go through this.
Oh, we'll just
That's
go with
fantastic.
One.
Yeah.
See if you can just print it and see if the wireless printer comes
out. Oh, no, but I need one for my house so they can pick the right condom when they walk in.
There you go.
What, do you have like a punch bowl full of assorted flavors?
Tap them by the door. Please take a penis chart.
It's right next to the hand soaps and lotions.
Penis chart
and hand sanitizer.
Because you better clean and lube that shit.
You color coordinate the size.
There you go.
Take this penis chart and come back here.
You feel like a green to me.
Yeah.
You seem like a green. Oh, it's the Lucky Charms.
I just thought kind of interesting, and it gives you all 50 states.
Yeah. What's the out of the 20 is the worst, right? Who's 20?
There's a 20 was.
Well, there's nothing going on in the Midwest. Look at that.
Nothing to know here.
No.
Oh, St. Louis was 10. That's encouraging.
I feel like that's surprising. Like Midwest, like corn fed, like good.
That's what I'm thinking
corn
too.
Corn fed, like farm boys.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Nice try.
Thanks.
Sexy.
That's nice.
Sexy. Mm-hmm. Well, this doesn't go to 20.
That's all 15. I'm sorry. Citizens.
So Boston's the worst on this map.
And then how about your state? It talks about the results in descending order.
And also in condescending order.
New Hampshire is number one, and Wyoming is dead last. They've shriveled.
It's because
it's cold in there.
It is.
Well, in the winter, yes.
There you have it.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Now you all know where to move.
All my traveling.
Katie June, we're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all set.
We're okay. Phoenix.
I was going to ask a question about another size, but I'm going to let that one go. Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm just going to let that one kind of. Yeah.
No article on that yet.
No, we'll be.
I'll find it, but no article on that.
Yeah, there's that. Oh my heavens! Well, I have one more story, and I know this is going to bring some ire up in our old Al Perkins. So I had a little audio clip I was going to have him read. Al, how long are you going to be in the kitchen? Oh, just that long. Well, Monday, CNN host Ashley Banfield confronted two Republican representatives, and we all know how this turned out, because as we sit here talking to you from Studio C, the federal government is in shutdown right now. But Representatives Marsha Blackburn, Republican from Tennessee, and Dana Rohrabacher, Republican from California, to see whether they themselves would be willing to forego a paycheck in the event of the government shutdown, something nearly every other federal employee would be forced to do. And, well, what we have here, my friends, is a little audio clip of that interview, and let's see how that turned out for them.
Just a moment. You are both paid $174,000 a year. That's your salary. Would you be prepared to add some kind of a rider or an amendment onto a continuing resolution that would take you out of the essential services category and stop payment on your paychecks in order to get a continuing resolution
now
through?
Now listen to get out of this.
Yes or no? Yes
we're
or no?
We're waiting to see
would you
what they offer.
Would you be prepared to stop your paycheck?
We're waiting to see what they send back, and I hope that as you are running
the
countdown clock, that you're running the debt clock. I've
that
got two
the
grandsons.
Question.
Their share of the national debt
the
is now
no.
$53,000
no, I'm sorry.
Each.
I asked a really specific question. I wanted a yes or no question. There are a lot of government workers that are going to stop receiving their paychecks, and there are a lot of military service members who are serving overseas who might stop being paid, and there are veterans whose benefits to be affected. Would you be prepared to take a cut and lose your paycheck as well?
Let me answer your question.
It's a yes or no question.
They just were all the way, just skirting it right, left, right, and left. They don't want to give them $174,000.
Right.
No, so just let everybody else get fucked, which I heard today, like even out at Luke Air Force Base here, I want to say there were 400 people that were given furlough notices today. Sure. Oddly, on Google right now, the Google Doodle is about the, I believe, 125th year anniversary
of the
Yosemite National Park. Closed. Right. You know, and there's so many parks and everything right here in Arizona. People have been given 48 hours to get out of every national park if they have campers or RV, you know, everything. They've been there. People have planned vacations for God knows how long.
Yeah, the Republicans don't care about these things.
No, you're right. No, I understand they don't. I'm just saying, you know, if you're wondering... if you're wondering who's really looking out for themselves, it's them, clearly.
Yeah, it really is. And it's, you know,
I figured you'd want to be in on this. Because
it's just midterm elections. That these people get reelected every 2 years. Every 2 years, the House of Representatives comes up for reelection. The Tea Party got in 2010 because of the crazies, and they self-destructed already by 2012. A lot of them are gone. The crazy fucker in Florida, he went. Alan Keyes, completely batshit crazy. Michelle Bachmann almost lost in 2012. Can't run again. Because she knows her time is up. They're not doing anything logical or anything for the betterment of the country. They've had 3 years to suggest one change to the health care law.
Right.
I know it's a lot to read. I've read 1,100-page books, a couple of them, in the 3 years that this has been a law.
Sure.
Take your time. Read it. I need one. And that's what I keep saying to Republicans that I'm arguing with. I just need one suggestion that besides women's health care.
I saw you post that the other day,
too,
about
that. That's the only thing. And all they do is keep read. All they want to do is defund it or put some other restriction or redefine rape again. All you got to do is give us one thing. What do you need to change? What's your one? I need one idea from you fuckers. And none of them.
Nothing.
Not one idea.
It's just really clear that it, you know, and there have been some people, I don't think Republicans that have said this, but, you know, as soon as this gets rolled out, which that's the whole thing that I don't understand. Like, why are we arguing about it? It's happened.
It's happened today.
Yeah.
Today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why are we still arguing about it?
You lost the election.
Yeah.
You lost the Supreme Court decision. And you're all constitutionalists. These are the people that don't want anybody to reinterpret the Constitution. Anybody that does any kind of reimagining or thinking it's a living document. They are radical judges and they want them thrown out. But, hey, they're going to ignore two out of the three parts.
And... Right.
So what I...
Three out of the three parts. They're just one half of one third of the government.
Right.
It's a temper tantrum.
Kind of related, kind of. I mean, it is. It's related. But what is hysterical to me is that I posted it on my Facebook page today, and I'll put a link on the show page. Is Jimmy Kimmel, you know, he does like the man on the street. Have you guys seen this?
I haven't seen it.
Oh,
no.
Where they were picking between Obamacare and
amazing.
The Affordable Care Act. Yes.
And they go out on the street and they straight up are asking people, which do you prefer, Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act? And they're
they don't know any fucking idea.
The Affordable Care Act. Well, why is that? Well, because Obamacare is just, I don't like anything about it. They had none of these. So they ask this one guy, they say, do you feel that people should be kicked out of their, or not have an option because of pre-existing conditions to get healthcare? And he goes, well, no, I think they should get it. Do you think that kids should be able to stay on their parents until 26? Well, yes. Do you feel that, they asked one other question. Do you feel that, and he said, well, yes, obviously. And they said, do you feel that Obamacare is a socialist program? And he said, it's a socialist takeover is what it is.
Goddamn takeover. And they said, and it's not even sexy.
But you like the Affordable Care Act. And he said, well, yes, of course I like the Affordable Care Act. And if it does any of those things, yes, I want that. I do not want Obamacare.
Right.
And
it's a sickness.
Embarrassing.
It's a sickness. And then when you tell that, like Ted Cruz, biggest fucker in the world right now, he's like, well, why are you against this? Well, they should go out and get jobs so they could have health care.
Huh.
But they're going to get jobs at Walmart, at the evil empire, where they don't pay them enough to live.
I have a job.
So everybody on...
I have a job.
Healthcare. Right. So you're gonna work at Walmart, where you end up on food stamps because you don't make enough to live, mm-hmm. and then you can't afford health insurance, and they're not giving you any.
Yeah.
But that one
or
kid on TV...
Or you start at Walmart, and you have a pre-existing condition...
I'm not standing up and defending everything to do with Walmart, but remember we did a story a couple weeks back where Walmart is now extending benefits to same-sex partnerships. So some of the benefits that are there, they are extending.
And you know what it is? It's people like us that are beating the drum and getting that word out. Like,
right, yeah, I remember you saying that.
I stop people on the street and tell them, do not go in that place.
Right.
And Walmart's starting to realize, like, oh, we may own the entire nation, but people are starting to trickle away.
Right.
Because they're finding out that that place over there pays their employees.
Well, right. Additionally, Walmart offers domestic partner benefits to their employees that receive benefits. So these are the upper level management, people in the corporate offices.
The full-timers.
Well, but you're right.
Pretty much.
So they offer no benefits.
The random person who just works part-time as a checkout clerk is not getting it.
And I mean, these kind of companies, you know, they specifically will work them up to, 39 hours?
Yeah, I was right.
And
so that they don't have to call them full-time.
So they're not full-time, so they don't have to give them benefits, and they don't have to pay into any kind of, God, I can't imagine that they have, you know, retirement packages for those low-level employees anyway, but, I mean, they do everything they can to avoid, a lot of companies do.
Yeah, and I worked for a small company, for BS West, and we had, because it was friends of mine that started it, and they had to have health insurance, so for a few of us that were full-time and they knew we're in, like, that they would invite people into the benefits, like, it wasn't just somebody that they brought on that was going to be there for a couple of weeks. Like, you had to work there for a certain amount of time, become part of the big picture, and then they brought you in into the healthcare plan. Right. And then you realize that in such a small group, that with my epilepsy and somebody else had, like, a bloodborne something or other. It was some like 18th century disease that just needed a lot of treatment. Wasn't particularly deadly or anything like that, but just needed treatment.
Maintenance and stuff.
Yeah, needed a lot of maintenance. So it brought up the whole group because there was only eight of us in the pool.
Right, right.
So if two of you go up, then we escalated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you have to start thinking, but the more people you put in the pool, the less those two sick people have.
Right.
So as all these young people buy in and they don't need it for a few years.
Right.
It's like car insurance. All the people that drive and don't get in accidents kind of pay the way for the people that get totaled. You know what I mean? That's insurance is something that's fire insurance, house insurance. Everyone has it. You can't own a home without having property insurance. You can't drive a car without having insurance. You're going to be in the hospital someday. It may not be today. It may not be for a while. It's a crapshoot. You may wake up with sky-high blood pressure.
Like, right.
You could just end up with something that you're like, oh, shit, didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was saying, though, you know, she's like, look, I don't have a problem. And she was, you know, she's a proponent of the Affordable Care Act. She likes it. She's excited. Yay. Great. But she said, you know, I don't understand why I, as a woman at age 25 or whatever she is, a non-smoker, you know, a very light drinker, in her, in the, you know, good weight range. She exercises regularly, like a no medical history, nothing. And she's paying $500 a month. And this was for, this is in her private plan. Right. This is not Obamacare. This is not the affordable care. And her brother, who is just a couple years younger than her, who happens to be a smoker, whether they know that or not, you know, you could lie. He pays $200 a month. And she says, you know, she's trying to understand where that difference is. And there, you know, there were people.
Because she's a female. Because
she's a female, yeah. But she is.
His car insurance is going to be higher. And right. Her health insurance is going to be higher.
And yeah. She said, you know, people were explaining, yes, it's because you're paying for your neighbor. And she said, I'm good with that. But she was questioning the fairness, really, right. Of
her,
that.
Her pre-existing condition is being a woman.
Uh-huh. Because
guys go, like, this is almost every guy you will ever meet, and you can go do an unofficial poll. If they have, because they're sexy.
Guys or unofficial polls?
Yeah, both. Well, the polls in general. All of Poland, really. I've seen their porn. But guys do not go to the doctor from their college physical or their military entrance physical, whatever happens around 18, 19.
Yeah.
They do not see a doctor again. Almost guaranteed until 40.
Yeah. Well,
unless they have to.
Yeah. Right, right.
I was pretty much in that boat.
Yeah, I think my dad was
almost,
too.
But they also don't know they have to. That's the thing, is even if they have to, they don't.
They just don't go.
Like, you've had that condition probably for 10 years, but you've never checked it, so how would you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? They just don't go. And around 40, people start to think, huh, I'm a little sleepy.
Yeah.
My leg seems to have fallen off over there. Maybe it's...
Like, guys know, right? Like, around 40, yeah. Everybody... I mean, I think most people know you got to get the colonoscopy around 40.
50. But,
50. Oh,
okay.
So that's what I mean. But there's that big range where there's nothing for men to do. We don't
right.
need
women have
checkups.
To go annually. We have to get the mammograms. We...
Pap smears, all that.
If
happens.
You're like me, you may or may not have a new disease, you know, every couple of years.
Like, or every week, like you're doing.
Pregnancy. And it's not just going in for the mammogram, it's breast cancer.
Well, yeah.
The
yeah.
potential for that. I mean, just all of it. So we're going to be way more prone to getting all
and
of it.
And then the men's stuff starts at 40. Yep. And not because they weren't sick before then, but because that's the first time they hit a doctor's office. Mm. And then they start getting stuff.
And a prime example of this, and I believe we all, well, you didn't know him, Katie, because I don't think you were around him, but obviously, Miggy. Mike Bowman was a prime example. Mike Bowman, you know, he was rolling and he had bought the bar and restaurant, and everything was going. All of a sudden, he started not to feel too good. And I've forgotten how old Miggy was when he passed, but yeah. I don't think he'd hit 40 yet. Maybe he did.
I feel like maybe
just right there. Yeah, but
maybe.
You know, all of a sudden wasn't feeling too good and goes to the doctor and finds out he has stage 4 cancer and he's done. Like, and literally within 4 to 6 months he was gone.
Because everything that's early prevention, you're not going to testicular cancer just because guys masturbate all the time. It's just luck of the draw that you find that. That's But there's just no health awareness in men from that college. It's usually a college physical or the military. Till 40, it just never occurs to someone.
Yeah.
Because you'll get people all the time, like, come to 42 years old, no medical history. No, they probably do.
Yeah. They haven't just been the picture of health. You're just real lucky.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
I'm assuming that Laura's talking about this very topic. She's in the chat room. What do you call it? Advocate, if you will. Uh-huh. She's in the chat room, and she says that her husband is 63 and won't go.
Yeah.
won't go.
I can believe that.
And
I can believe Steve will not go.
My dad had all kinds of stuff happening, and he was kind of in the same boat. Not going, he would go to urgent care.
Right.
And fucking urgent care. What are they going
to
do? Nothing. Also, hi, Dad.
Send
if you're
you to
listening.
An emergency room. Right?
Thank you. Hi, Dad. Sexy.
Yeah.
Sexy that wasn't uncomfortable. Was it?
No. But he didn't go. Would always just kind of like, he was just treating, like, whatever this discomfort was or this. Right. I'm kind of not feeling well, so I'm going to go to urgent.
My mom's father was a classic example that when I lived with them for the 5 years before I moved out here, it was the same thing. He'd had a quad bypass. He had, I forget what cancer he had, but there was radiation involved. Anyway, he was the same thing. Like, you know, his body quit producing red blood cells. So what would happen is he would just become anemic slowly over time.
Yeah.
So he just, you know, we would always joke about he was a quart low. Yeah. So, but, you know, he would slowly slow down. And all of a sudden he's like, you know, I'm just not feeling as good. But he would never make that phone call. He would never be proactive. So I would always be the one, I would call his doctor and be like, hey, here's what he's doing, blah, blah, blah. Would you just call the house? And I'd come home and grandpa would be like, God damn it. Crazy. The doctor called today. You were just telling me. He never picked up on that. So then I moved to Phoenix, and I would find out, like, I would call and talk to him or grandma or whatever, and I would find out that he was doing, and I literally, from here, I would call his cardiologist, and I'd be like, you got to get Chris in.
Yeah.
And they would call.
Give him a buzz.
And literally, grandma would be like, she would send me a message or she would, whatever, and she'd be like, yo, doctor called, you're good. So, you know, we kept filling, we kept topping up grandpa's blood.
Yeah.
He'd go in and get a fill up. He'd be in the hospital like an overnight and he'd be good. And he'd go for months.
Yeah.
But again, because he just was so hard headed, he would never go.
When my dad actually ended up going, he had a surgery. He had he had a piece of his colon removed. It wasn't like no cancer or anything, but it was, he had really severe diverticulitis. And
That's quite severe. That's what Elaine Stein died from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she.
And he had to go, and they were like, there was like no, they weren't hesitating. They said, we need to get you scheduled. Let's get you in and get surgery. And he was in the hospital for a few days. What? And for years, he had just like not felt really well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, gets to that point. So, I see what you're saying.
It's hard to kind of differentiate between, I feel really shitty. And
you just have to add up both. You have to add up. I feel really shitty too. And I also haven't seen a doctor in 10 years.
Yeah. 10, 15.
That's how I found out I had asthma. I was laying on the couch with like pain in my left shoulder, pain in my left arm, like not able to take deep breaths. I thought I was having a heart attack, but I was going out and telling people, I think I'm having a heart attack.
You smell toast.
So finally, I called my mom and she's like,
Alfie,
how about you think about going to a doctor there, brain surgeon? And sure enough, they're like, yeah, you have allergic. You're just allergic to something outside and you're having a lot of trouble breathing.
Of trouble.
So if you keep having trouble breathing, you're going to have trouble having a heartbeat soon.
Laura says that she's, I've been ordered not to call 911, but if he bumps his toe, holy shit. Yeah, same here. Same here.
I get that, yeah.
But same women don't go
to,
women don't go to doctors, and there's a lot of problems with preventative care because the first thing they do in the doctor's office is, it's the first thing you do when you get, first time they take you back behind the counter.
A D&C?
They get you on the scale.
Oh, they weigh you.
Keeps women from preventative care.
Isn't that interesting?
So a lot of doctor's office will put right on there, we will not weigh you.
Wow.
That is interesting.
Because women would rather not know their weight and have breast cancer.
Holy cow.
Shame.
No, and it's
well, they think it's a weight loss plan. It's not a good one.
But it's one of those, and it's one of those things I learned in school about the problems in well care. Like, because we could eliminate so many diseases. Mm-hmm. All you need is just
you're right. Maintenance. Just like your car. I always use
get
a car.
Get some information.
Right.
This
Kelly always gets
work,
annoyed because every time she goes to the doctor, no matter what kind of doctor it is, you know, they ask, okay.
A vet? Does she go to a vet or something?
No, I'm just saying, not necessarily a lady doctor, a general practitioner.
It
took her a really long time to find a doctor she liked because they say, okay, are you currently pregnant?
Right.
And she'd say no. And they're like, okay, are you absolutely sure? And she says, I am real, real sure. And they're like, is there any way that you could be pregnant?
Nope.
Immaculate conception.
No. Yeah. And so she would get so frustrated with that question all the time.
Right.
And she had a number of doctors, and these are lady doctors, but try to push birth control on her until she would say, I'm gay. I'm not ever, ever, ever having sex with men. I don't want your birth control. Leave me alone. And then she would never go back.
And then it
took her forever to find a new doctor.
Sure. And now the doctors, the good thing is I found that now the doctors ask that as part of the questioning. Mm. Like, is there a chance you could be pregnant? Are you homosexual? Like, is there a chance you could be pregnant? No. Are you in a relationship or are you in a same-sex relationship? Because now they don't just keep pressing you into, like, I'm not denying having sex.
Right.
You're just not asking
the right question.
Yeah, that's right.
And now it's turning into a shaming.
Yeah,
because, you know what I mean? Like, get to the right question and I'll answer it. Or you're going to make me come out to you and have, like, this awkward moment where Tim did a lot. I would say I did. But Tim did the research on my doctor to make sure we had really, really gay-friendly doctors.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate going. I really like to go to the doctors, and I will make a note on the chart. Because, you know, I've seen a number of doctors and with the baby, and I interviewed a few different doctors, and you always have to fill out the paperwork no matter what. They want you to fill it out.
Right.
And I can appreciate when it says partner. It doesn't say, you know, it says your name, and then how is this person related to you? You know, are you married, blah, 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 or partner? Sure. Or it just says partner's name as opposed to husband's
name. Right, right, right.
And I can appreciate that. And every time I make a note, that's just kind of a side note, but every time I'm like, domestic partner, bitches, I don't have a husband.
Sure.
Right. You know, and I'll say something to them. You should change your paperwork.
That's
so I appreciate
smart.
The doctor's offices that do, and you feel a little more
comfortable. And it's seriously, it's been a fast
Yeah.
It's that domino effect. It just has started swinging, and now you're like, whoa, that pendulum's way over there now.
Sure. Now it's so much easier.
Now they give me a rainbow flag. And
I come in and Judy Garland singing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The lovely nurse's assistant offers me head. I mean, it's a good time.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Well, yes. Would you like a BJ in the back room while you wait?
That was a movie I watched last night.
He's a green. That's sexy.
Got it. You've got something else, Mart, on your more ugly, tragic people on men?
No. Well, kind of. Michelle Bachmann.
Oh.
Always a winner.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Well, because
if stupidity had a name. Oh, wait, it does.
It does.
Michelle Bachmann.
Not sexy.
Not sexy.
No. Not even kind of.
She didn't even marry sexy.
No.
She married gay.
Married gay is Christmas.
Kinda.
She married Cam from Modern Family.
And that's being mean to Cam.
Yeah, that's being mean to Cam, right? Because I don't think her husband is as good of an actor.
No. No.
But she's not pregnant.
No. Bachmann compared the subsidized health care to crack cocaine. And really, she's just a dumbass.
She sucks at metaphors.
She really, you know. So she isn't upset about the federal government. She isn't upset that they've shut down over Congress's never-ending Obamacare.
No, they're proud of it. They're absolutely proud of it.
Right. Well, because in her view, this situation is akin to a drug dealer running dry, preventing a junkie from getting their next fix. And I thought, seriously?
Compassion. And because she has a Bible.
Completely.
So she's learned about compassion for the sick.
Well, what I really enjoyed, there's this part, and then there was a comparison. It says, asked during an interview yesterday why she thinks Senate Democrats have thus far refused to negotiate with Obamacare-hating House Republicans, Bachmann said, I think the reason is because President Obama can't wait to get Americans addicted to the crack cocaine of dependency on more government health care. Unreal. Well, she had said something about this, literally, the Affordable Care Act. I don't know if you remember this. We did, like, I brought this in here and we talked about it a little bit, that the Affordable Care Act literally, quote unquote, literally
is killing people.
Women, kills children, kills senior citizens. And so as I'm looking, I was reading that one, and then I found one that you linked to it. Obama mocks Michelle Bachmann, worrying that Obamacare literally kills women. And he did a speech on the House floor, or she did the speech on the House floor where she did that comparison, saying it's going to kill them. And he said that, here's what Obama said. I mean, these are quotes. I'm not making this stuff up. And here's one more. And then he goes into.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's like, she really said that. But he never says that it's Michelle Bachmann.
Right.
And I thought, very good. He
actually went on and said, and here are some things that people are saying that are blatantly untrue. And he kind of gave a little
funny
wink, like
come
this
on.
Cunt. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was like, in this stupid bitch said this,
this
then.
Much,
like,
right.
That it's literally. And
my life's motto, what I live by is, if you're going to accuse me of it, I'm going to do it then. If I'm going to get the same reaction from you as if I said something horrible to you and all I said was good morning, then right. I am going to say fuck off. Then right. We're going to go there. Right. Can you grab my sweatshirt out of my thing? So the main thing with, like, he's this angry black guy. He's this socialist. I want him to just come out one day and just be the angry black socialist, because he's such a fucking moderate. He's such a pussy. Like,
see,
just come out
the
there and go all the way to the left and be a goddamn socialist, communist, Kenyan, you know.
Oh.
Just do the whole thing. I just want him to be the angry black man that everyone thinks he is. Like that,
to put on the show.
The Key and Peele thing where they have the angry black translator. You know, this is what Obama's saying, but this is what the angry black man in him is really saying. And it's so goddamn funny.
Well,
I want him to go out there and be like, fuck you, bitches. I may have been born in Hawaii, but they had hoods.
Well, according to Bachmann's logic,
they were
women, children, and senior citizens aren't out of the woods yet, because, you know, it just started. So we'll have to wait and see how that works.
But meanwhile, the only thing that the Republicans have passed again is another thing about women's health care rights and what they can or can't do their bodies. And there's 7 middle-aged white guys again making this. But
for women,
the government should not be involved in health care, except for these 7 white guys about
in
women.
In this piece of health care.
Yeah, in this piece of health care.
In particular. Right. By the way, this just in, the guy you were talking about earlier, Ted Cruz, and I don't know the full story, I haven't read it all yet. However, in West Palm Beach, Florida, again,
Florida.
Not sexy.
Ted Cruz erupts in hooters after his government-issued expense account card is refused.
Stop it.
And who was he having lunch with? Rush Limbaugh.
I love it.
That's awesome.
He was forced to borrow $53 from a Fox News reporter.
I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
To pay his tab because his card was refused because it said United States government on it.
You bet.
And the Hooters people decided not to take the card.
I love it. That is
sexy.
That's sexy. I want to call the Hooters and congratulate them.
Can we call them right now?
We can't call them.
Why can't we?
We don't have time.
We have time for them.
We're very important.
And the final thing, I found out about this today, and if you've heard of it, I posted it on the Facebook page today. I just thought it was funny. We all, obviously, unless you live on an island, you have neighbors. Some of them you get along with, some of them you don't, some of them you know, some of them you just wave at.
Some of them have their toilet out on the front lawn last week.
For some reason, weird, don't know why, that's your neighbor, right? Yeah, yep. Right
there's
to the east of you, right?
Yep. There's a toilet in the front yard.
Still hasn't solved that. Well, a gentleman named David Thorne lived across the street from a gentleman named Justin Flecker. And everything was going great in the neighborhood until Justin installed a new security floodlight. Well, what I'm going to read to you is a transcript of emails that were exchanged between the two men. Now, first, the note was handwritten and left on the door, and I'm going to pass you this because to see the diagram that he drew, first of all, is really funny. And then I'm going to read you the email exchange back and forth between these two neighbors. Now, and note, one of the neighbors was from Austria. Dear neighbor, due to your new terawatt floodlight shining through our bedroom window.
Oh, no, this is about mine. That's what you did to my neighbors.
Oh, sorry about it.
No. This is your neighbor's letter.
We can adjust your lights.
No, don't, because nobody's broken. Okay. Inside.
Due to your new terawatt floodlight shining through our bedroom window like a small but intense sun, I have removed the lamp and placed it in your mailbox. Regards, David. And David leaves his email address with a diagram of house A, where the light is, the road, their house, and for some reason, a dog in between in the yard. I think that's funny. So that's the first one. So that's
the first one. I love that he called it a small sign.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then David Thorne writes the first email back. I received your note, but you can't go onto other people's property and take things. That's trespassing. Massanutten is a wooded area, and I installed that light for security. It's a safety issue. I can't help it if some of the light goes across the road, so close your curtains if it bothers you. Well, David writes back to Justin. Hello, Justin. Thank you for your email. While I accept that curtains are usually a key to community accord, in this instance, they would need to be constructed of 8-inch thick lead sheeting.
That's funny.
Last night with my curtains closed, a bedside light turned off, I read a book, wearing sunglasses under a blanket. Though unconvinced that blinding local fauna is the best solution, I do understand the heightened need for security living in a wooded area, such as this gated community. Having formerly lived my entire life in Australia, I am unfamiliar with much of the local wildlife, but I did see my first raccoon last week. I stepped outside to have a cigarette, and the raccoon sitting less than 5 feet away beside me over an upended bin eating the remains of a Domino's artisan Tuscan salami pizza hissed at me. Surprised, I threw myself backwards, rolled several times toward the door, and sprang to my feet, holding the welcome hat above my head to appear taller. Sometime during the roll spring mat maneuver, probably during the roll part as it was over gravel and I was wearing shorts and a thin t-shirt, so I had to take it slow, the raccoon left. Which probably isn't as exciting of a story, but there it is. It's not Borneo, and I'm not Jack London. I did see a snake the other day, though. I picked up a stick to poke it, which also turned out to be a snake. Jumping back in panic, I threw it away from me, but our dog thought it was playing fetch, and I had to run and jump over a creek to get away from it.
This
weekend, I intended to set up a canister of poisonous gas in my yard with an industrial fan behind it. I can't help it if some of the gas goes across the road. With regards, your neighbor, David.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, Justin sends a note back. Is this meant as a threat? Put something up in your window if you don't like the light. We've lived here 5 years before you, and before you even moved into this neighborhood, and we got along perfectly with Ryan, who lived in your property before you did. We went to his barbecue, and I loaned him our mower. We get along with all of our neighbors. I don't know what you people do in your own country, but this is our country, and we don't go into other people's property and touch their stuff.
Oh, no.
Signed, Justin. Well, dear Justin, in my country, terawatt globes are reserved for police helicopter chases and warning sailors of hazardous shores. This is despite the fact that practically every living creature there can kill you in under 3 minutes. Our primary spoken language is screaming. To continue his email, I'm not surprised you get along well with all the other neighbors. I mean, if you put 50 children with a Down syndrome in a room, there's going to be a lot of hugging. And no, it's not a threat. It was an exaggerated response to an uncompromising stance. I was taught never to make a threat unless you're prepared to carry it out, and I'm not a fan of carrying anything. Even watching other people carry things makes me uncomfortable, mainly because of the possibility that they might ask for my help.
Oh, that's a true story. Did I write this letter?
I did consider installing a floodlight as bright as yours, but this would require some form of carrying things. Electrical wiring, knowledge of electrical, the access to a power supply capable of producing that amount of wattage, probably nuclear fusion. As I am told off by my partner for wasting money when I leave the light on in the bathroom overnight, I can only speculate to what her reaction would be to an electrical bill 8 times our annual income for retaliatory garden lighting. She would probably have to get a third job.
Retaliatory garden lighting. Oh, he needs to be an essayist.
Oh, God, he's funny.
It would be much cheaper to stand in my driveway and throw rocks. I can't help if some of the rocks go across the road. You should probably put something up in your window. With regards, David.
I want David and Chris Cluey to get together and write things.
Brilliantly.
Now, Justin writes back to David. And what I like about the emails is, you know how when you respond to something, it's like reference, colon, reference, colon. So the reference, colon, reference, colon, reference, colon keeps going. And the subject is lamp. So, dear David, did you take our lamp again, you asshole? What part of not being allowed to go on our property did you get? Signed, Justin. Dear Justin, no, I did not take the light again. I relocated it again. Its current location may be discovered by deciphering the following set of clues to its whereabouts. Perhaps you can invite your friend Ryan over and treat it as a kind of a treasure hunt. Clue number one, it's in the mailbox again. Clue number two, look in the mailbox. As I realize this probably won't narrow down the search much for you, I will give you a third clue in the form of a riddle.
What's in your mailbox?
What burns with the light of 1,000 suns is in the mailbox? Regards, David. Justin responds. So now it's lamp.
Oh my God.
I put a smaller lamp in so you can shut the fuck up now. Don't email me again. If you ever trespass on our property again, I will press charges. Dear Justin, what if I have a barbecue and need to send you an invite? Is it okay to email you then? Regards, David. Response. No, it's not okay. Response back. Dear Justin, what if I need to borrow your lawnmower? I can't invite people over for a barbecue and expect them to stand in tall, long grass. Someone might get bitten by a snake. It's a safety issue. With regards, David. The final volley back. Dear David, fuck off. Go back to Australia.
I'm trying to get that line to get the fuck off. Like, that was very civil.
I heard about this today.
Funny.
I was dying laughing.
Retaliatory garden lighting. That's poetry.
That is sexy.
That is poetry.
I think that should be the name of the show. Retaliatory garden lighting.
I like that.
Oh, my God. I thought that was so goddamn funny. If you Google Australian email online, you can read the whole transcript for yourself. I changed a couple of the words because he kept using the word letterbox for mailbox, and it's just not as funny. But oh my God, that is so funny. Retaliatory.
He is a funny guy.
It would be cheaper to stand up my driveway and throw rocks. Some may go across the road.
No, what was it? Our spoken language is screaming.
Very funny.
1 out of every 3 animals will kill you.
In 3 minutes.
So I pick up a stick. There's another snake.
So my polite floodlight that used to be on my garage.
Still on the garage.
Yeah. So it went out, but I don't have a ladder because I'm afraid to get up on ladders, so why buy one?
Naturally.
So I figured you had a ladder and a truck. So I was like, you know, at some point, come over. If you could just change a light bulb. And if you could even give me the tools and I would probably figure it out. So he said he would put that, he didn't bring the things over and test me, thank God, because I wanted it on.
Right.
But I have the really cool thing on my front porch that the light comes on at sundown, goes out at dawn, so I don't have to worry.
The timer.
The timer. The sexy word. Sexy word.
Yes.
So he puts one back on the garage on the same timer, but I don't know where he found the sun that he attached. But
no, it's not on a timer. It's a dawn to dusk with a motion detector.
Oh, I know, but it's the light is fantastic. Yes. It's just the brightness of it that's startling.
You can land planes.
Oh, and they will one day. I'm waiting for one to detour right into my garage.
Don't hit my truck.
So the first night that I'm home, I had asked Jonathan, I'm like, you know, was Clayton by? Like, would anything go on? And he was like, oh, he changed the light back there. And he goes, wait till you see it. And I thought,
because you can't miss it.
Yeah, because he sleeps in the room that doesn't face the backyard. It faces the side yard. But the light sneaks around the corner. So the first night I'm home, I get up to go pee, and I'm like, what time is it?
Is it daylight?
Because I just have an obscured. Frosted glass. Flop, flop.
Beveled. Oh, Tuskegee.
I practiced at home yesterday.
Go on, Jan.
So I just stood there peeing, and I'm like, is it morning? Well, there's a cock, but is it morning?
Oh. Yeah.
Not sexy. No. I couldn't resist that one. But it's so funny because now, you know, he might move in and take that back bedroom. I'm like, oh, we're going to need to get you drapes.
Yeah. Something. Yeah.
We're going to need because a box, room, a locker for
and
that
I
hat.
Used to leave a light on in the back of the house, but I'm like, who would ever see it? But my poor neighbor's room is in the back of their house. I hope they've made contingency plans for constant sunlight.
What was it that they needed to put up? A metal?
An eight-inch lead thing? Shield. Because I read a book yesterday with sunglasses on under the covers.
It's so funny. That he took a picture of the guy, posted it on this website, and then he went on to say, this is David, that he didn't get along with his neighbors very well in Australia, and little has changed 17,000 miles away. The fat redheaded family next to ours have a fat redheaded dog that barks in our driveway at 2 a.m. The old couple to our left have never been seen unless you count glancing toward their house and seeing their blinds close quickly. And Justin across the road recently installed a spotlight on his front porch that faces directly into our window. As we're moving in a few weeks, blah, blah, blah. The last night we are here, I intend to shoot the fat redheaded dog with a paintball gun, moon the old couple, and steal everything in Justin's front yard that isn't bolted down, because that's standard operating procedure in Australia.
That's SOP, ladies and gentlemen.
Because he goes, I don't know what you do in your own country.
Oh, funny.
The curtains, in this instance, they would need to be constructed of 8-inch thick lead sheeting.
Right. That's hysterical.
That is brilliant.
Oh,
brilliant.
Al, are you ready for entertainment section?
Oh, yes.
Well, by God, let's go.
I have TV suggestions for new shows that are starting, reviews that have come up.
Oh.
I have some shows to avoid.
Oh.
SNL is back with all new cast members. Tyler, I wish he was here. I saw his movie. Local celebrity Heather Morris has a baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh.
And then your assignment for this weekend is gravity, 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 wow. Gravity, 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 gravity.
Well, there's that way to fill out and hit the post on that. Atta girl.
I have it written down that many times, too.
Can Katie June really see that, though?
I don't know. I'm going to need a Xanax.
And I've heard that there is like one point where you're like, oh. Like, yeah. It's just...
And the director has said, and his name, Alfonso Cuarón, is I think how you pronounce it, has been giving interviews lately that there's only three good 3D movies ever made, and I agreed with all three choices, Life of Pi, Hugo, and...
His movie.
No, well, his is going to be the fourth, but the big one with the blue people.
Aliens.
No.
What's it called?
I know.
Smurfs? Did you hear me?
The planet... Atreyu.
Avatar.
Good.
So he was saying,
"How come nobody laughed when I said Smurfs? Because that was really kind of funny."
Was that in 3D?
I mean, kind of. Really.
Yeah. Oh, that's embarrassing.
So, and he's saying that don't even. But if you're going to go see this in 2D, then just wait and don't even bother to go to a theater. That this was made lovingly with 3D. It uses all the technology.
It wasn't made and then 3D slapped on a little later.
It's not a post. And he as well as everyone else is saying that. This is the movie of Sandra Bullock's career. Like this is where she proves why she already has an Oscar.
Wow.
And things are looking very good for her as far as this goes. As far as TV goes, Sean Saves the World, the new Sean Hayes Comedy starts day after tomorrow. And from what I've heard, the pilot is not terribly good, but that they fix it. And by week two, they took all the notes and got it fixed. The pilot was good enough to get sold to a network, and that the product afterwards is really good and really worth watching. That everyone kind of agrees that the pilot is like the Friends pilot that's like kind of like, oh, those jokes are terrible.
Okay. It really starts next week? Or for some reason, I thought it was last week.
Yeah, no, I thought it already started. Good
no, it's day after tomorrow, so I'm trying to get you ready.
Oh, I'm excited for that one. And I really like that Megan Hilty is in that.
Yes, and that's one of the things they did. I don't think she's in the pilot, and if she is, she was
never promoted until like a couple days ago.
It's been all summer. She's been thanking him all summer.
Oh, she's been promoted? Oh, I missed that. I knew the show was happening. I didn't know she was on.
But I have him as like a friend on Facebook, so I've been getting the updates, and he acknowledged that what they were saying, that the pilot, that it was sold on his name alone.
Because, oh, sure it was.
Yeah, because everyone has said, like,
now do we think that Mullally will guest star somewhere?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. She's in everything. If you look closely, Megan Mullally is in like 1,000 movies this summer. I don't know if she just has every independent movie maker in her back pocket. But
they just like her.
Tyler's suggestion, The Kings of Summer, that I just saw, she's in it with her husband.
In a world.
She's in it with her husband. The Spectacular Now, she's in it. Like, they're working. I don't think they're making any money because these movies are all made for $10, but she's in all of them.
And this, the TV show with Sean Hayes isn't a Just Jack. I mean, they created a...
Yeah, it's a new
that was my concern.
Like, no, it's supposed to be very new. The problem, they said, was it was just a very old-fashioned sitcom and kind of clunky jokes, that they just went a very conservative route, and that everyone was like, well, you're way funnier than this. Like,
okay.
You know,
gotcha.
And it's Linda Lavin, it's Megan Hilty.
Linda Lavin.
She plays his mother.
Great.
Plays his mother.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And
they're all post, everybody's been tweeting about the fun that they're having on the set. And the audience, the live audiences, they've been asking, that's how they're promoting it. Is the live audiences are like, yes, this show was very funny.
Good.
I love him. So
yeah,
excited.
I do too. And that's why I was very excited, because I was kind of concerned at the criticisms that were going out.
Question for you, Al, because I know you'll know this. It seems to me that one of the things that Hot in Cleveland has been noted for bringing back is because at the very beginning of every show, Hot in Cleveland is taped in front of a live studio audience. So many shows don't say that or don't have for many, many years. How many shows really are all in front of a live audience?
If they're the standard three-camera sitcom where they put the three cameras and you're in a set, those are all filmed live.
They are, okay.
But in almost everything...
Like
was
Modern Family's not.
Not, right. In The Office. And it kind of started with The Office. I know there's an earlier one that I just can't think of right now. But The Office is kind of the end of the laugh track.
No.
And that's what you lose when you do the shows that aren't filmed in front of a live audience. And most of the time, unless they're like really, really bad, those are genuine laughs. No. Like, they do add some here and there, but once a show gets going and has like a following, and then those laughs are almost always genuine.
Okay.
And sometimes you don't know why they're laughing, because you're like, that's not really funny.
Right.
Tomorrow night, though, if you're a fan of Rebel Wilson from Bridesmaids and Pitch Perfect, she was Fat Amy.
Right.
Yeah.
Her sitcom starts tomorrow night. She gets the money slot on ABC after Modern Family.
Okay.
So that debuts tomorrow.
It's a great
lead-in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Entertainment Weekly said it was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They
okay.
said that this she's the new Melissa McCarthy of like good. Everything she's touching is just
gold.
Yeah, even if the material's not good, she takes it the rest of the way and sells it. Kind of like Sean Hayes. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Sean Hayes, like, even if he and Karen weren't doing everything, like the show wasn't that great, they just finished it off for you.
Yeah,
you're gonna
right.
laugh at those two.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of Modern Family, not to interrupt you, but I'm so happy that Modern Family is now in syndication, because I wasn't on board the first couple of seasons.
Me
so
either.
They're repeating. I can record everything and it just shows up. So I saw one of the very first ones the other day and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I kind of understand where everybody comes from, even though I assumed based on storylines. But so it's cool. I'm glad they're on syndication. And I'm sure they're all happy as shit that they're in syndication.
Because she's already the most. She already is making more money than anyone else on TV, Sofia Vergara. So now she has syndication.
Oh yeah,
money.
Sure.
Right.
She's making money.
She's doing good.
Glee last week came back with the Beatles episode, and actually another episode aired tonight. If you did not watch it, find it. Okay. It's the same crap. It's the same, like, they switch tones. the tone of the show switches in the middle of a sentence. You don't know where you're going. Right. But it opened with the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, they're not saying that Corey Monteith died until episode three. But this was the Beatles episode, and there was something that happens at an audition with Rachel.
Oh, I totally cried.
She did you say? Oh, it was beautiful. She sang Yesterday. And she sang after the train wreck that was, who was that other talented girl that sang Yesterday on the award show?
Oh, Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. Beautiful girl, beautiful singer. Just butchered
that
song.
It just didn't go well. No, it was like weirdly off pitch, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, everything about
it was
like
it was in wrong. A weird key.
And she was just trying for something that just wasn't there.
It was weird.
Okay. But let me tell you, when you put the words to Yesterday to a 26-year-old whose boyfriend just recently died and... You know,
in
yes,
real life, like, and on the show.
And on I the mean, show. It was just... and so it was a very private moment to open the show and kind of just let that moment pass. It was beautifully sung. And then at the end, my boyfriend, Blaine, proposed to his boyfriend, Kurt, and they did it to...
not your boyfriend.
All You Need Is Love.
All You Need Is Love, with all the different vocal teams that they've competed with over the years and a marching band. And then they... Oh, I got teared up. They go back to the school where they met... And they talk, and they comes down the stairs where they first met.
Kelly and I were both crying.
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful. And I forget that All You Need Is Love ends with, she loves you.
I didn't know that either. I thought
and
that they...
it's the little coda. And if you ever wonder what a coda is when I talk about them, that's a coda where they put something at the end of a song, like a tale. And all of a sudden, Blaine starts singing, he loves you. I was a disaster. I mean, it had everything but clowns in it, for the love of Jesus.
But
I'm not made of stone, people. But if you have a chance,
it was sexy, though.
It was. Oh, it was. Because I think Darren Criss is, he's sexy.
I agree.
So go online and find that proposal is seriously going to end gays forever. Because now, like, everyone is just going way over the top with these proposals. Just ask him to marry you. And local news... dear friend Tom Perry and the man he loves, David Harp, got engaged yesterday. We're very happy for both of them.
I actually had a story in regards to that from last week. I totally forgot about it, and I'm going to totally forget the name. I will go grab my notes from last week. They wound up being the first couple in Arizona.
Nick Ray.
Nick Ray. Bingo. Thank you very much. Nick and help me.
And...
damn it. Yeah, Nick Ray
escaped me entirely.
Yeah,
so there was Daniel
Ekstrom.
Yep,
bingo. There were Daniel Ekstrom owns the Miss Gay Arizona American pageant.
Oh, yeah,
system.
Yeah.
But they became the first couple in the state of Arizona to what was it?
Receive a green card. The first gay couple,
right? Because Nick is from England.
Right, right, right. He's
British. Oh, yes, it doesn't matter what state you're married in.
Yeah,
and so they were the first ones in Arizona.
I'm so glad I keep all these little facts in my head.
That's very good to hear.
Because I forget all those little names.
And then the reason that Heather Morris will not be joining them, you know, she left Glee last year. They had to write her up,
which
unexpectedly.
Which is a bummer because she's so
good.
Oh,
but
God,
she had told them all along that she was trying to get pregnant. She's been in a long-term relationship trying to get pregnant. She was never supposed to be on the show, but for two episodes.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So she got a long run out of it. She left graciously. Everyone loves her, and she gave birth to a baby boy last week.
Okay.
So, I mean, very exciting for her.
Oh, God, yeah.
But she will be missed in the tribute episode because she's always just fucking funny.
She has some great delivery.
American Horror Stories. American Horror Story has now... it's un-fucking-leavable. Jessica Lange, Kathy Bates, Precious, what's her name?
Oh,
Gabrielle Sidibe, Patti LuPone, Emma Roberts, Angela.
I'm gonna look it up because there's another like young actress that's gonna be in it that I love.
It's Vera Farmiga's sister, Teresa, because she's in the first season. She's back because they keep coming.
That's
back.
That's her sister.
Yeah, they're sisters.
The really young girl?
Yeah, the one in the first season that was the daughter.
Yeah.
That's her younger sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they kind of look alike.
Yeah, they do, but they seem like they have a big age difference.
So Sarah Paulson's back, but it's Angela.
The guy, that boy.
What's Love Got to Do with It?
Bassett.
Angela Bassett. Mm-hmm. I mean, the credits rolling on this show, that even if it sucks, it's a chance to see like 17 great actresses chew their teeth. Just amazing.
Yeah,
chew the scenery is what I meant to say.
Okay, there's that.
Right.
The new Robin Williams sitcom is atrocious.
Ah, that's what Brenda and Robin were talking about that. And Brenda said that Brenda hated it and said that there were a couple of parts where, Robin said there were a couple of parts where she laughed, you know, kind of did a laugh out loud, but
cringeworthy.
She wasn't sure.
Really?
Those stamped all over Michael J. Fox in ratings. Only because the name was bigger?
No, because they opened, they are on after, Big Bang Theory. They have the better. They have the money leader.
Who does?
Gotcha. Robin Williams show. Williams, it was. I sit through anything. I have only turned off like two or three movies in my entire life, right. And I can make it through 22 minutes of almost anything. It turns
it
out
it really was that
I
bad. Can't.
I had to turn it off. I was like,
wow.
Okay, Robin Williams, this shtick got old about 20 years ago. Like, I need a character. Just something that's not just Robin Williams
doing Robin Williams.
Having
Robin
verbal
Williams,
diarrhea. Right. It was, ugh. It was truly
and who's
awful.
The girl that plays against
so much
him?
Better? Buffy. It's Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah. Such a good actress.
And she was bad as well. Or
it
no?
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
He's so busy. Just I guess since the Patch Adams, the horror movies that started coming out of him of just like horrible movie after horrible movie after horrible movie. I just can't take it anymore. Like act. All right, and then I got a little bit to finish.
He's got
up.
More entertainment coming up. Katie's going to have some sports stuff as well. Thoughtful Vulgarity is coming up. Our drinking word is sexy.
Sexy. That's sexy.
So get yourself a beverage if you don't have one. Well, if you don't want one, we understand. I mean, Katie's doing this Sober October, and how's that working up for you for the first these 2 hours?
Yeah, it's going really well.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we like it too.
It's good.
Oh, for the love. It is the end of hour two. Hour three is coming up, whether you like it or not. I mean, you could turn it off if you wanted to, but don't.
Kat, but why?
Kat Carlson listens to all 3 hours, so do what Kat would do, would you?
There you go. Do what would Kat do?
Kat would listen to all 3 hours. You should, too. We'll be back with the rest right after this. Stick around.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, 901, the beginning of hour three. It is The Show. I'm Clayton McKee. Thanks for joining us. We are here 7 to 10 every Tuesday night, coming to you live from Studio C in the heart of Central Phoenix. Thanks for joining us. I'm here alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins, rounding out our cast. When we left,
I'm chilly.
I know you're chilly, but I'm forgetting the fact that it is cooling off in Arizona.
Yeah.
And so I pre-cooled the studio just moments before you got here.
It feels so good. I have to tell you, I'm delighted to have a sweater on.
Okay. Well, then I'll leave it alone for the next hour. We'll just leave the air on.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, we're going to get to the point where I don't have to turn it on at all.
Right.
Yeah. All right. When we last left you at the end of hour two, Al Perkins was fascinating us with entertainment.
I'm just trying to help you set your DVRs for the coming weeks.
And they're
and
full.
And make DVRs smart choices. Full. Yep. SNL, new almost all new cast. They lost 6 cast members. They got more in. They went heavy on the white guys. Okay. Only one new woman, but what's her face? Kate McKinnon, lesbian comic extraordinaire, and just
I gotta Google her.
She is funny in a way that no one should be that funny. Like there should be illegal to be as funny as she is. But SNL, knowing that they're up against a wall, they've lost a lot of the beloved cast members
like
over the last
cast
couple
members?
Years.
Just yeah. this season,
and then,
right?
And then Kristen Wiig right before, sure. And Adam Sandberg, who's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's kind of funny.
I like that.
Yeah, it was
I'm
funny.
Into it. Yeah.
Yep, yep. I watched it 2 weeks. It's funny. They did a commercial for e-meth that makes fun of like the e-cigarettes.
I have not
that
seen it, awesome. But I heard about it.
Oh, it's on my. It's on my.
I have a DVR. I haven't seen
it's
it.
It's on my Facebook page. Just the e-meth clip. I almost shit my pants. And then what didn't squeak out of my ass during the laughing got the rest of the way out when they did a girls parody.
Okay.
Where they had, and it was Tina Fey hosting, yeah. Uh-huh. You know, kind of there to save the ratings and get people to like take
season a season opener.
Take,
sure.
take a look to see if you like it. And she did a parody of girls. And this show is so self-indulgent, white girl, that it needed parodying in the worst way. And the fact that it took this long to do it amazed me. But they had the girls, and the girl that played Shoshana was so spot on that I thought it was the actress. Like, I literally thought
it was the real
person.
Because
it's filmed in New York, and she's David Mamet's daughter. Like, I thought, okay, maybe she's in on the joke. And she's up. No, it's one of the cast members that wears this crazy fucking bun on her head. But they get a new roommate named, like, Umberta. And she's from Albania. She's like a Russian cup
she
dancer.
Dances?
And it was Tina Fey dressed as an Albanian like rag woman. And So the British girl, and it was Kate McKinnon playing the British girl that's bored with everything, and she's like crying in a bathtub about how she hates orgies. And she's like drinking a glass of wine, and she looks at Umberto, and she goes, I love what you're wearing. Where'd you get it? And she goes, a fire. And the British girl goes, chic.
I love it.
But the best part is, so Shoshana, who's the confused girl that never fucking shuts up, and you don't know whether to fuck her or beat her, she's talking to Berta on the stairs.
I don't know what that means either.
I'm going to let that go.
Because she's so annoying that you just don't know what to do with her. But she wants to have sex. All she talks about is how she wants to have sex.
Okay. I have a picture of her.
You don't want anything to do with her.
I love the butt on her head.
So she's got the big butt on her head. And as she's talking, Berta goes, stop talking. They'll know you're simple. And if they know you're simple, they'll kill you. and then like they do a real quick edit. And she goes, I am very hungry. May I eat donut on head?
So therefore,
and she starts poking at her bun.
We have a picture of her.
Sexy.
But they're both on my Facebook page from this week, both clips. And you don't have to have watched Girls at any point
to get it
because Tina Fey is selling That's that funny. Shit. Oh, it was priceless. The last thing I think for TV, Dracula comes on this month with Jonathan Rhys Meyers. Sexy, sexy, sexy from The Tudors and from Bend It Like Beckham. He's just a hot fucking man, mama. And they're doing it Victorian era Dracula, trying to spin a series out of it. It looks really good. I read all the things. I watched some clips. He could sell me dirty underwear. I'd probably buy it. Where'd you get that? Fire.
Fire. Fire so, bad.
So Nobody I think that's it for TV. And now, yeah, exactly. Now a couple.
It was
movies.
An SNL thing. It was Phil Hartman when they did the We Are the World, and he was Frankenstein.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he was Firebird.
When they did the
We're old, I'm sorry.
When they did the We Are the World thing to explain the Whitewater thing for the Clintons.
I don't remember
it
that.
Was Saturday, so,
is that an SNL clip?
SNL
but that's
skit
old SNL.
Where they did
Whitewater, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Dan Hartman, and they were trying also to explain Whitewater with a celebrity choir, and it was like Michael Bolton and all these people. And I think Michael Bolton was the one that was really there, because he shows up on Saturday Night Live all the time. It was so obscure, and the humor was so spot on, because they actually explained Whitewater correctly. And it's still up. And I think Phil Hartman plays Frank Sinatra like he always does.
Oh,
and
of course.
It's deadly.
Well, he also would have played Clinton, but Clinton's not going to be explaining Whitewater.
No, right. But it was all celebrities.
Sure.
I can't remember who they used to do, but one used to do Sinead O'Connor. And
I love to pull up all your videos here, and then I go home and I have like a really great watch list after the show.
So for movies, I had no intention of being able to tell you about all these movies, but I saw them. So Tyler's suggestion was Kings of Summer that he told us about earlier in the summer. Finally came out on video. It's on DVD. It is a fucking charmer. He was spot on with this one. Two best friends are having some trouble. It's white boy problems. Are having some trouble at home. They decide they're going to run away and build a house in the woods and live and be independent men. And they have a tag-along Italian kid who no one knows where he came from and no one knows how to tell him to go away, so he ends up being their, like, best friend. And he's, like, 1 foot tall. He's, like, this little Italian midget.
What's it called again?
Kings of Summer. Yeah. It is 90 minutes of just sheer pleasure that just makes you want to go into the forest and have an adventure. Like, you just want to build a castle. And they go around and they just take, like, doors off porta-potties and windows off model homes, and they build a little castle from themselves, and the one guy thinks that they're hunting, but they're not.
There's no retaliatory garden lighting.
There's no retaliatory garden lighting. But it's not like the typical coming of age. It's just boys wanting to have a summer adventure and put it under
fun.
It was a delight. It was a great choice from him. Don John, my husband, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Did you find the copy you were
no,
animately looking for a copy of
that's
the magazine?
That's tomorrow's thing. I got to go Out Magazine. I have to find out where Out Magazine might be sold.
It's some I don't know. Are there magazine bookstores?
I know
at all?
Somebody said there's a Barnes and Noble, but I don't know how far I'm going to have to drive to get to a Barnes and Noble.
Used to be is Bookstar gone from Town and Country?
Oh, that's a possibility.
No, I think Bookstar's gone.
I think Bookstar's gone. Yeah, because Nordstrom Rack is there
yep.
now.
Yep. I don't know.
That means nothing to you outside of the Phoenix metro area.
But Don John it's a hard R.
I just feel like it looks so stupid and pointless.
I don't fully get it.
I don't either.
Just based on previews.
Yeah, he likes his girlfriend and he also likes porn.
Yeah, he's a porn addict, I guess you could say. Like, not a sex addict, but he's addicted to porn, I guess you could say that. And
I thought he wrote or drew, like, I thought he did something in the porn industry. Am I wrong?
No, he's a bartender. No,
just watches it, which is why just don't get it. Like, I love my girlfriend, I love my job, I love porn. I love my girlfriend, I love my job, I love porn.
Is that you speaking or the movie?
No, that's like the preview.
Oh, okay, God, I was great. Sure, because I never know about
really
you.
Really good movie there. It makes me want to hit my head.
It was very good. He wrote it, he directed it. Yeah, he wrote it, he directed it, he stars in it, he touches himself quite a bit.
Okay.
But from a guy's point of view...
And that was sexy.
And I'm not...
good, Katie.
Yeah.
Every time he threw a tissue in the trash can, I was like, woohoo! No, and I'm not sure, like, people were saying it was a date movie, but I honestly never believe that women understand how much men masturbate.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think...
Sorry, Marnie, you walked in on our conversation. You weren't ready for her. I'm sorry about that, Marnie.
And there is a level of you watch porn all the time, and even though you're getting sometimes you just want to watch something dirty and have a little doodle with yourself. And then there's people that are missing the connection, or sometimes it's a fantasy thing. Like, there's things you just can't do with a real human being, so you watch other people do them on screen and kind of be like, well, that'd be sexy if that wasn't filthy. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So it's all kinds of there are things that I'm willing to watch people do, but I'm not gonna do that. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, that ain't happening with my body.
You watch that kind of porn.
I watch a little bit of everything.
Wow. Really?
So it was very interesting.
Glad I put that desk in your bedroom. Yeah. It's dirtier than that little table was.
Yeah, a computer in the other room.
Yeah.
So, but it's really good because Scarlett Johansson, because I don't really care for her. She always annoys the crap out of me.
She's super hot, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no getting around that.
What would you call her? So, would you call her sexy?
She is. Oh,
okay.
Sexy.
Yeah.
Even I got a little woody over that one.
Use your words, Katie.
She's amazing.
Yeah. Give me the measuring stick.
Marnie's saying no. She's not on board on that good ship lollipop.
No. All right. Oh, God, no. Anyways, it's very good, but it's a hard R, and it's one of those things where, like, you have to be comfortable with the fact that men masturbate. Like, there's you just can't. You can't pretend.
How many times are you going to say that during this show?
No, because I could see the reaction from people leaving the theater of like, well, my husband doesn't do that.
Yeah, he does.
You're not with him 24/7, Marge.
You should be too. Yeah. Really, for that matter.
And you might as well spank it yourself while you're there. So a good turn from Scarlett Johansson. Like, she just annoys me, but she's a really good actress.
They said her accent was good. I mean, that's what I
and
did
really
hear.
Game because she
and she was like a good New Jersey girl.
And it's a little stereotypical, but it kind of like gets you that people that watch the Jersey Shore. Like, it just kind of brought you into like, here's the Jersey. Here's a family from the Jersey Shore, and then Julianne Moore comes in and she has a much bigger part than I was expecting. And
I like her.
Just really like. Kind of brings the movie into focus. Like, it was very good. I mean, I am biased because I'm in love with him, but it was very good. But it's a hard R. Like, there's no pretending that this is a family movie, or you're going to bring your mom to it and not squirm uncomfortably through it. The movie that I keep meaning to mention and I forgot to mention, but is Enough Said with James Gandolfini and Julia Louis-Dreyfus,
right?
Me and my friend Kevin and Barbara went and saw that this afternoon at Camel View. Beautifully done. Great movie, really funny, couple tears near the end, but not for a sad reason, just a life goes on, but just a great couple, great chemistry, a really, really well done. So I think there's an Oscar nomination for her for this movie, because again, it's so rare to see a woman in a like lead role where everyone else is supporting her. Like, the movie is about her and everyone else is secondary. Great movie, great performances. Toni Collette.
I love
Catherine Keener, like, really great performances. Great movie.
I've heard a lot too.
And then my last one. Nope, that was it.
That's it?
That's it.
Well, okay. Movies.
I watched The Bling Ring because I thought it was going to be just like stupid, mindless, like a dumb movie.
I heard good things about that.
It was really weird. It was like a very Sofia Coppola movie. Like, it was just a really weird. But the girl who is Vergara, Formiga.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Her, that little sister. Who's also in this new American Horror Story, was in that movie. She was, like, my favorite part of that film.
Yeah, she's very good.
She's so good. Anyway, that was kind of a weird movie I saw. Yeah, we're really excited about Gravity.
Yeah.
So, that's happening.
Just make sure 3D.
You couldn't see that.
No, I'm just going to take a Xanax.
Yeah. And they've said that the way that they film it and the way, like, sometimes you're inside her helmet, so you're feeling the spinning from her point of view. And they said
that a panic attack right now.
Yep. Yeah. But I guess there's more to it, and that's the reason why they're only showing 15 minutes at film festivals. I think the critics get their first look at it.
To be more to it, because you know you can't just spin around in space for
two hours. But they wanted no internet. They don't want the fanboys at it. They don't want spoilers. Yeah. They're being very careful about what this.
Tom Hanks talked to a volleyball for 2 hours.
There's a daughter. Oh,
that's actually, that was horrible.
It was.
I slept.
I understand. I took a nap. I'm just saying,
but it happened.
Yeah. I thought it was 3 hours that Tom Hanks was willing to be dirty. That's all. That's what I called that movie.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of that. But no.
It was an acting triumph, but not a movie triumph.
Mm-hmm. Off topic, and you've not mentioned anything about it because you weren't a big fan of it when you mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Apparently, last week was the end of when you could see The Wizard of Oz in 3D, which is not real. It was bullshit 3D anyway, right?
Mm. Oh, but then now they've re-released it for the 19th time on DVD, Blu-ray, and special edition everything, including a masturbatory fantasy box set that comes with ruby slippers and a scarecrow.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not where I was going.
Life
however,
size.
No, what I was going for is when I think this,
too.
I want to say it was last week, if not, it was the week before, and I just failed to mention it. Or if I mentioned it, I don't remember. Maybe I have Alzheimer's.
Sometimes.
Anyway, sexy. The point is, on NBC Nightly News, they did a segment in reference to the movie. Like, and even Brian Williams, like, it's the re-release of the movie in 3D, and it's an IMAX, blah, 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 blah. Though they didn't show any portion of the movie, you know, like, in the 3D setup, because you can't do it on TV. He went through, like, an entire timeline of the movie and releases and this and that and that, and they actually showed on, it was in, wait, is that an MG? That's not, is it an MGM?
I think so.
Yes, it is, because it's the MGM in Vegas, where they used to be So it's an MGM movie. So they went to they actually showed the soundstage where the scene where the Munchkinland, where the Wicked Witch of the West, you know, the smoke comes up and she dissolves into the ground. They showed the trap door still there on the sound set, and I just thought that was so cool that is still in existence. That's still there.
Oh, and they're still working around it.
No, they are. I mean, that's still the soundstage. It's in use. But I just thought that's cool that trap door from 19 when they, you know, it was released.
When was that?
Released in 1939, but the movie was in production for 3 years prior.
Okay.
So I don't know when that soundstage was built, but I mean that's been there a long, long time. Really? I just thought that was very cool that they went through this whole kind of a retrospective of the movie, and then it's like, well, you've got still a week to see it in the theaters in 3D, blah 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 blah. But I do want to own it. I really do. I know you've got it, but I do want to own it.
No, I just yeah, it is MGM.
Oh, you rented it.
I just rented it that time because I wasn't sure if it was going to be worth it, and then I keep meaning to order it. And
I do want to order it only because I was astounded when we watched it at your house how crazy clear it is. Oh, that's another thing I had a question about for you. Huh, I have so many questions now. Katie, we're cutting into sports time, but I think we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Here's a question for you, Al, and I'm sure you've got a technical explanation for this in regards to movies. Let's just say that you're watching a movie that was filmed in the late 40s, early 50s. A black and white, obviously, in that era, you're going to maybe a lot of a World War II movies that were made about that. They're crystal fucking clear.
That means they saved the negative.
Crystal clear movies. So then you cut to, I don't know, the 70s and the 80s. And then they show a movie and it's
grainy and the film's bad.
What is the deal? What is the deal with that?
That's a stylistic choice that was done in the 70s. And when they do Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez like to do little homages to the 70s. And you get that grainy film. Sidney Lumet was famous for it. Scorsese did a couple movies, and it's just a style of, I think it's film versus video, but it gives you what they thought was like real life. Like they wanted the grittiness to be in the filmmaking. So there's a lot of those. The French Connection is one of those movies that's,
I may
in
be
that
wrong, but
style.
I think like, I'm using this, I think 9 to 5 has that look of a grainy, gritty. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just thinking of what it looked like in the theater. But when I think of a movie that was done like if you watch it on Turner Classic Movies or whatever, a black and white from like the 1940s,
they're really nice.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, it's in response to the heightened glamour, the aesthetic of the movies in the 40s and the 50s is that really heightened glamour, the technicolor, the everything's perfect, everyone's hair is done. In the 70s, they wanted a more realistic feel to their movies. They wanted the city to look dirty. They wanted the people to look...
It wasn't all perfect.
Real. Everything wasn't perfect. It was, and they got away from it because people are like, "Well, your movie's kind of ugly."
Yeah, Taxi Driver couldn't be pretty.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, for that story, you're right. Right.
And they got away from that, and then they started going to, well, now we're blowing the screen up bigger, and people are wanting like picture quality again. And then, you know, Steven Spielberg was making these beautifully filmed, especially Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh,
that movie is gorgeous.
And E.T., as far as I'm concerned. But that's
a little in your house. That movie takes place in a house predominantly.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But big
okay.
set pieces came back again. And that just, okay. it kind of changed the tide to movies looking a little bit nicer. But you'll see if somebody's trying to do like an homage to the 70s. That actually, it's kind of like late 60s when they started all having dance scenes. All of a sudden, they went into that just a gritty kind of. Oh, every
and
60s movie
is time for a dance break.
And they do it all
Which
the time in 60s movies.
Even rarely do.
Breakfast at Tiffany's has a dance scene for no reason in the party. Where
for
they walk
no
the,
reason.
No, but all the 60s movies have little dance scenes. So that really is a stylistic choice by the by quite a few directors back then, just to have it more earthy, more realistic.
I for some reason that thought came into my mind the other day, and I'm like, what is up with that? Why do things look really, really wonderful in a certain area and not? And I wasn't sure. There was a technology change.
Black and white is beautiful. That's the other thing, that because people are like, I don't want to watch a black and white movie. They're boring. They're beautiful. They're almost like hand painted because
you
have to light everything. And if you see Katharine Hepburn in black and white movies or Lucille Ball in black and white, they're gorgeous women because they're lit perfectly and their makeup is done for that lighting and everything is shadowed
in
the most flattering way. Mm-hmm. And then you get color and you're like, oh,
yeah,
your skin's not perfect.
You know, sure.
Your skin's not perfect anymore.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a style choice, and it's an acting choice too that changed in the 70s, where everybody went to that minimalistic method acting, where like, you know, I have to stay awake for 3 days to act like I've stayed awake for 3 days.
No, it's called method acting.
Yeah, like that.
Didn't Dustin Hoffman get educated about that?
Yeah,
Olivier
told him it's called acting. You should try it.
You should try it because
he had been awake for days for the Marathon Man, and Laurence Olivier's like, I'm going to dinner. Yeah, I don't go home and torture dogs. Like, I'm going to dinner. Try acting, dear.
Right.
You don't have to get into the role that much.
It's 9:21. It's the show. We've got a little bit more coming up for you. Sports with Katie's coming in just, about 30 seconds from now.
If you think it's sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
This week in sports, true, our Phoenix Mercury have been knocked out, but not without a little bit of controversy in one of the final games.
Yes, sexy.
We've got another famous Rivera of the Glee clan. Michael Jordan says he'd beat LeBron any day.
Any day.
And Jay-Z is a sports agent.
Oh.
In sports.
In a world.
So we know, very, very, very sad story. The Mercury ends their season with a 72-65 loss to Minnesota Lynx in game two. It was here in Phoenix. I was really excited to be there. It was a good game. It was better than we expected after the first game was a blowout. Yeah. We were in Minnesota for game one. Thank God we had a friend over for dinner and we could kind of just ignore what was actually happening. They were destroyed. Yeah. I mean, Diana Taurasi had 8 points. I mean, this is a woman who shoots 30 points in her best game. She had 8. Candace Dupree, who had just killed it in the LA series, had 2 points. Zero points. Dawana Bonner had 2. I mean, it was just a disaster.
And they said that
their plane, you know, you gotta love when they start coming out with their plane was delayed. They were just really tired. They just sucked. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what I love from some of the commentators, including Sue Bird, who's a former WNBA player herself, said, you know what? it was a big loss, but a loss is a loss is a loss. Mm-hmm. Doesn't change what kind of loss it was. It was a loss, so move on. Okay. And they did. They were really looking strong in the first quarter of the game of this most recent game against Minnesota. They actually stayed really strong in the first half, and just Minnesota got fired up over halftime. They came back and won it. It actually is the 15th game now in a row that we have lost to Minnesota. Mm, so that yeah. spans over 2.5 seasons.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I think.
And Minnesota is pretty good.
Minnesota has some players that, you know, when they're on, they're on. And they are always on. They do not miss. Yeah. So anyway, it was a fun game to be a part of. And of course, we all cheered our girls afterwards and it was nice.
Good.
Michael Rivera is, of course, the brother to Naya Rivera. Mm-hmm. And he is a Raiders player. He had his very first touchdown of his career in the second.
First name again?
Michael.
Okay, thank you.
M-Y-C-H-A-L. He scores his first NFL touchdown in the second quarter of the game this last Sunday. He is 23 years old, a rookie out of Tennessee. And it was really fun because they had Naya was there looking real hot. Sexy with her mother, and they have the clip of, you know, it was just kind of fun to watch because she's been the star of the family, and so she was really excited, really on board, really jumping up and down a lot in a tiny tiny t-shirt,
as God intended.
I mean, really,
Katie, you're cracking me up right now.
As God did intend.
He can go in the spank bank.
Oh, is he a good looking guy? I didn't look at him, but he was wearing a helmet, but his sister looks great.
He's got a big nose.
I like your analogy there. Yeah, like, her sister looks great. Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting for the Rivera family.
Are you sure you're not pregnant? You're not pregnant? Okay.
Pause check. He is cutie,
Thought I'd check.
There is no way. Michael Jordan says that he beat. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's a good looking guy. Uh-oh. Michael Jordan says that he would beat LeBron James in a one-on-one.
I read this.
He's not so sure about Kobe Bryant. Yeah. In his prime, Michael Jordan thinks he would have definitely defeated LeBron James and other NBA legends in a game of one-on-one. There was just one matchup that Jordan wasn't sure about. He was interviewed by Ahmad Rashad for an upcoming promo video for NBA 2K14.
Let's Google him right quick.
He said he'd like to have played a game against Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Julius Irving, Carmelo Anthony, and Dwayne Wade, among others, and was confident in his ability to defeat all comers against him. I don't think that I would lose, other than to Kobe Bryant, because he steals all of my moves. The clip hasn't been released fully yet, so it's impossible to say whether he was joking.
Sure.
You know, they haven't said how he kind of delivered that line.
Right.
But he can kind of do it. You know, and it's Michael Jordan.
In his prime... Because he said in his prime. He's not in referring to now.
No. Yeah.
I would have to say I would completely agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he
more
was.
More than completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Ahmad has aged a little bit.
And it was a different. Did basketball feel different when he was playing?
It had, like, when you watch. Oh, yeah.
But she is Felicia. Still beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
She's
Felicia Rashad.
Yeah. Still employed.
It's like with any of the sports. When you watch football in the 70s, as opposed to now, you know, like it seems like it's way faster now.
It was also, it's also grainier if you look at the film.
A lot grainier.
It's an homage.
But at the same time, they're a lot harder hitting.
I feel like
a lot less timeouts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lot less gear.
I feel like I liked
gear.
And I mean, I liked watching NBA, and it probably was just where I was in my life, but I really liked the NBA when Michael Jordan was in it. And I was younger, and I was just more kind of into it. You know, it was just seemed more fun.
We watched it too, but it seems faster now.
Mm.
Everything is faster.
Bigger, stronger.
Right.
More steroids.
Bigger, longer, and uncut.
Yeah.
Was that out loud?
Where's the piece of paper?
I know. We need to measure
that. Sexy.
I'm sure that it is different, but I think Jordan could have taken all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really fun. He praised the players all for being good athletes, but it was a fun interview, I'm sure, and it'll be fun to watch. So Jay-Z thinks that he could become a sports agent. He lacks the educational credentials to ever be officially certified to represent players in contract talks, but nevertheless, he thinks that he has the experience to qualify.
Just because he's black and has a lot of money?
Let me actually tell you why.
Oh,
I mean, along those lines,
Katie, do tell.
Racism.
His experience, of course, comes from engaging in an illegal empire. He says, I know about budgets, man. I was a drug dealer. This is serious.
To be
in a drug deal, you need to know what you can spend. You need to know what you need to re-up. Or if you want to start some somewhere, barbershop or car wash. Those were the businesses back then. You can easily get out of that. You can get into that easily. You can't get out of it.
Watch back at her reading this.
Oh, yeah. No, I try to get. Oh, no, that was intentional. Intentional racism.
Also, you're working for
trying to, like, that tremendously. I'm trying to.
Katie's working for Paula Deen all of a sudden.
Is this method acting? This is method acting.
It is. I'm trying to really, like, channel some, like, Jay-Z drug dealing.
I feel like the theme from Shaft should be playing while you're reading that.
Yeah. Well, and so.
All about car wash.
So, sports.
The car wash.
Yes, which is good.
Sexy.
And I actually like the movie. So. Sports agents, however, are slightly miffed. No. They say that understanding budgets and your basic idea of drug dealing, your potential resourcefulness in that arena doesn't translate into the expertise necessary to dissect labor deals, salary caps, blah, blah, blah. So they were a little bit
it's
like...
It's a different kind of cap.
Listen, dickhead. Yeah. Oh, my God. Intentional racism.
Intentional.
Yeah.
Just because your wife did the halftime at a Super Bowl doesn't mean...
You don't walk up to, like, the owner of the Lakers and be like, bitch.
Yeah. Where's my drugs?
Where's my?
I got $100
with
the heroin.
The drug.
$10
with the crocodile. Or whatever.
What do you take? Which is the better deal?
Right.
When do we get the Jay-Z burger at McDonald's?
I'm gonna cap you.
Yeah. So
he has to negotiate all kinds of shit. Endorsement deals, shoes.
Right. He really does. So anyhow,
very busy.
We won't see him.
Sexy.
No, as a sports agent anytime soon. No. And that, my friends, is this week in
sports.
I had it in my head, I forgot it. There was something, there was a sports thing I was going to bring. Oh my God, how could I forget?
Oh.
Sexy the Hawaiian Lion is the halftime show at the next Super Bowl in February.
I said that was last week's entertainment news.
Did you?
Oh, yes.
I'm so excited about it.
He's very excited about this.
Oh, yeah, your boyfriend.
Bruno Mars.
You're Bruno.
Yeah. Bruno Mars. Oh.
That is right.
You know what's funny about Bruno Mars? As on board as I am with him now, it's so funny that before I knew of him, I remember sitting in the studio at, I believe we were on 24th Street, and you were like, I can't believe you're not on this already,
right?
Talking to me about him, because I didn't know who the fuck he was. And all of a sudden, I'm on board. He's a sexy little motherfucker.
I didn't realize Hawaiian Lion was actually his thing.
That's
but you Google it, and his pictures come up.
Hawaiian Lion, that's what it's called. Yeah,
I like it.
Which is different than what they used to say about Hawaiian Lions. It was when Dog the Bounty Hunter was on with...
Barf. Not sexy.
Total.
Not sexy.
Totally different. And Beth was the poster child.
So disgusting.
I understand. It's 9:31, our final segment. Well, we are still drinking Katie and Marnie, would you give us our drinking word? What is it?
Sexy!
Girl. Almost in unison, but sad.
That's sexy.
Yeah, that was sexy. Well, let's kick off our last segment like this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Perkins?
I don't know if I just dream about this question or if I feel like we've done it like a bunch of times, but... Did we just do this last week where the different perceptions of the same event?
I don't recall that. But then again, this could be a different perception.
Exactly the same event.
That's a good call.
I
think we did.
Yeah, it feels familiar.
We did?
It does feel familiar. I'm starting to feel the same perception of the same event.
Okay, so tell me about
so
same idea, but I want to hear it from the perception of a breakup. Like, tell me about a breakup that, especially after seeing enough said, like about how a divorced couple sees each other afterwards. Like, how do you like one of your trickiest breakups? Like, what do you think they, what was their version of the train crashing, and what do you think yours was? Like, what would make it?
They were right, and I thought, what the fuck was I thinking? I'm pretty sure that that's pretty much how it went down. Yeah.
But, I mean, so did you break up with them, and they were completely shocked by it? Like, I'm sane. Well, why are you saying these things?
I think I was not sane at all. And, yeah, it was just like all of a sudden where you just get to the, I'm done. And I was done because I couldn't figure out what the fuck I was thinking. And then I left.
But did you tell her what you were now, like, what you realized you were thinking that you had forgotten to think for a while?
Yeah. Really, just leave. Because I can't, you know, you can't do this anymore. Like, this is, it's craziness.
And then what do you think their perception of it was?
How on earth could you think I was crazy?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, because the...
Bitch! Right. How could you think I was crazy, bitch?
That I think when someone is that delusional, that they, you know, if you're that engrossed in yourself and narcissistic and borderline, that you can't understand why somebody would be. Well, why on earth would you leave me? Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
I'm so important. I'm terribly important. Thank
terribly
you.
Terribly important.
Look
terribly.
At me. Look at me. Look, we should continue to talk about me. Please.
Oh, okay.
Can we talk about... What do you think of me?
Yeah. Enough about me.
Enough about you.
Right.
But it just... yeah, there was no...
So, okay. And then the follow-up would be... Or I'll wait for the follow-up question.
Okay.
I've really only had one major breakup. One, like, really major long-time relationship. And there was...
Sell this.
It was really coming... the breakup was really... It was interesting because there was no, like, official breakup. It was a very, very slow, painful...
A phase-out?
Disillusion.
Yeah, if I stop feeding this relationship, will it die?
Our relationship kind
get out of my
like
car. Right.
We that's kind you. Of kept, that's sexy. You know, we kept things going way too long. We were both really horrible to each other. So my view was you're horrible, and his view was I was horrible. Mm-hmm. But I also think we could both recognize, yeah, I was actually pretty horrible, and so was he. Like, we were
based on what we know now, you were probably not happy in a relationship because of.
Yeah,
it being a guy.
Well, no, that was not. No, really, truly, that wasn't it. We just we.
You're not talking about Gabby, are you?
No.
Okay, because that's a different relationship.
Totally different.
Just checking.
There was one other like relationship that I had totally in my head, also with a guy that I had dated, and I really thought we were dating because like we would occasionally would like go to lunch and he would pay, and then like later that night we'd have sex. So I was like, we're obviously together,
totally.
And like I was
that was a date,
so in love with him.
None of these were sway events, right?
No, this is. No.
That's funny.
This is way pre-sway.
Way before that. Let me write that
and
down.
I really was like in love.
Was this in Nantucket?
It was not, actually. This is pre-Nantucket.
Okay.
So this is just after college. It was one of my first jobs right out of school. Okay. And he would do just enough to keep me kind of like on the hook.
String you along.
Just
yeah.
enough. He was actually doing just enough with a number of girls.
Yeah, right?
Because he was just... And really, if you look at it from like an adult's perspective, like he was just dating, like he was dating this girl and that girl and me. And but I like didn't get that yet. I was too young to get the concept of like, oh, I'm just like dating some people. I was like in love with this man and I thought we were going to be married for sure.
Well, there's two very different perspectives on the same story.
So that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And when we like broke up, which he did, was like, what's going on right now? Because I was like, I never want to see you again. This is over. And he's like, did it start? Like, really?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really. And it's
where was I when it started?
Who are you?
Yes, really, truly.
That's
so
even better.
So
what is your name?
Yeah. So my friends always teased me that this is the guy that I dated.
Did you give him the penis sizing? Because that might have kept you together.
Yeah, that's really funny.
That would have definitely not.
That'd be the worst part about a devastating breakup when they didn't know that they didn't realize they were with you.
Oh,
I know, right?
I'm so hurt. Why? Who are you?
We just went to dinner every night for 2 years. Yeah. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. My friends actually got me the book, He's Just Not That Into You, for this specific guy. And I read it and it was like life changing. I know it's such a stupid cliche movie.
Does it work if you've been single for 12 years?
Does
it?
Yeah. It is.
Because he's still not into you.
No, but the.
Doesn't matter when you read it.
Rude.
The thing that.
Unsexy.
Kind of. That came out way meaner than I meant.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Right. Different perspectives.
Yeah.
So, but this, the book, though, really quick endorsement for the book. The movie, cheesy, you know, stupid. The idea is kind of cheesy, but the book is
I forgot
such
there was a movie. You're right.
Yeah. It's so empowering and really? Uplifting to read. You're like,
so is Up With People, but I don't want to see that show again.
No, it is so good.
And based on a Sex in the City episode.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. It's
just touching. Not that into you.
It's genius. The book is genius. It changed my life. And then it was really like
it was a throwaway line to end. They didn't know how to end this shitty exchange going on between Sarah Jessica Parker and a friend of the guy that had just dumped her. And he's like, listen, he's just not that into you.
Oh, that's
and he
so
walked away.
Funny.
And one of the writers came up with it. And then the author of the book is one of the writers for Sex and the City. And they just wrote the whole thing. But it was a throwaway line because they couldn't get out of the scene. Because Sarah Jessica Parker was playing neurotic, right. She always did, and they're like, she could keep this crazy on for 2 days.
Right. Yeah. Well, anyway, that was a fun little
detour,
quote unquote breakup.
Sure. I like it,
Clayton.
Because I'm pretty assured that none of them listen to the show. I really only have to go with because really in my world, three relationships. I mean, you've got Gio and Andrew and Danny. Mm-hmm. But the one with Gio was because Gio decided, and it's just because he was raised by his mother. He decided that the only way that he and I were going
to need to breastfeed. I don't know. Where
No. Because he learned relationships from his mother.
Oh, okay.
And being an overbearing Latino mom, what she did was she controlled his father, and that's how that relationship worked. He went to work, did his thing, blah blah blah. But she, for lack of a better term, she wore the pants of the family. She controlled everything, and what she said went, and that's how that relationship was. She smothered him and made it, you know, her way or the highway, basically.
Right.
And that's what Gio tried to do. The only way that he knew how to do a relationship was do that and to be that person.
Right.
And well, no, that's not going to work. I've got too many other things going on, and so that just didn't work. So the smothering was just, I had been independent for so long. And though I fell madly in love with him, and we had a great, you know, we had a great run for probably a year and a half of the 3 years. Right. But because I have that never say die attitude of so many different things, and I keep trying and make it work, it'll make it work. It went on and on.
It'll get better.
Right. Well, I thought maybe we'd turn that corner. I thought maybe like we were just young and we turned the corner.
Maybe
and
it's a lesbian bed death. Who knows?
Right. So, but that whole breakup was, and I had to explain that to him, and I had to get it through his head. He didn't understand why I wanted out. And it was because I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't play that role. I can't be the smothered husband or the smothered boyfriend. I just can't. You can do that.
Oh, I can't.
Your
even
mom,
imagine.
Your mom can do that with your father, and if that works, that's fine. And to my knowledge, still having issues with that. Not me, him.
But now, as far as the breakup goes, like, how did, like, did you just be like, and we're done, and or did like
it literally was. Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember when I lived with Ricky and Randy over on by close to where Darren and Michael. Okay, yeah. Literally, what I did was I called Ricky because I knew Ricky had a room for rent, and I called Ricky. And I'm like, I need that room. I need it tomorrow.
Whoa!
And I literally, boom, made my arrangements, done, and because we were in a house on Turney.
So what do you think his perception?
So wait,
of
he
that
came.
Was,
did like, he like come home and you were gone?
Pretty close.
Wow. Because
I was like, I'm letting you know. But I think it had been building up. And finally, you know, I had drawn 30 lines in the sand, and finally I built a boardwalk, and I'm like, now we're done.
Yeah.
I've tried.
So do you think his perception was relief, too, that this...
I don't know if it was relief. I don't... Well,
like,
it,
that this bullying with this constant drawing the line in the sand
and
moving...
Yeah, because that's all he was familiar with.
I honestly don't know if it was relief for him or not. It was a freedom, and it was a relief for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know if it was... I don't know... honestly, and it sounds horrible to say, and this many years later... Never had that discussion with him, and I've never asked.
And I was, and not that you would really have the discussion with an ex. But I always wondered, like, did
so what
you
do
ever,
you think went wrong?
But no, but you,
Gina and I have done that.
But do you ever get insight? Like, do you ever during the course of the relationship or the ending of the relationship get the insight of like, oh, you have no idea we're not happy, or they break up with you and you're like, oh, I had no idea we weren't happy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Because
usually in the breakup conversation, somebody says something, the other one's like, Really?
I
mean, not that they haven't met you is a new one. But.
No, and
Why are you crying, little girl?
I don't. Right.
I just love you so much. I'm so sad.
I don't remember exactly, and I think it was just a dissolving of a relationship with Andrew and I. Andrew was the kid. He's the reason I know sign language. He was a wonderful kid, but it's very interesting when you are affiliated with that deaf world in some aspects. I have a friend named Tom Duva who lives in San Diego, deaf, wonderful kid, but there is I'm not being disrespectful when I say this, because of their disability, and I think from previous years, they're educated differently and they're brought up differently because of a disability. And I think some of them were brought up and weren't taught in ways that others were. Tom is a very gifted, he's got a doctorate, for God's sakes. He's a very educated, but his perception of people who can speak and who he fully understands English and he gets it all, and he understands when you use certain words and how it goes, he gets all of that. But with a lot of them in the deaf community, because they weren't raised speaking and hearing, they're very, very paranoid about what hearing people say about them. They're very suspicious. They're very concerned. They're talking behind their back. If they're not in on something, you're immediately against them. There's a lot of suspicion within the deaf community. And regardless of what you're trying to help with or what you're doing, if they have a perception that something's wrong,
perception is reality in any relationship.
And if all of their other friends in that deaf community, which is their
encourage them,
right? You're dead in the water. You're dead no matter what you do.
But
so do you think there's some social cues that are lost too?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. There are very, very many.
That would be a challenge, I think. I mean, not an insurmountable challenge, but that would be a challenge.
It is. And the funny thing is, and I avoid it.
Well, you miss tone.
Yeah.
You miss tone of voice.
Totally.
It's a problem
with closed captioning.
Yeah, it's a problem with... It's a problem with email that you lose tone of voice.
Right.
So sometimes what you mean is like a mild conversation is coming off as really bitchy.
Intense and bitchy,
and then
you're like,
oh, no.
Text is the worst, really.
Text is the same way. Yeah. Right.
But in context is what's missing from a lot of that.
So that was a challenge with that relationship. But I think that was more of a kind of a dissolving. I want to say disillusioned, but I know that's the wrong term. But that's what it seems like to me. But that kind of faded away. And then clearly, I mean, you and I have had this conversation several times in regards to the Trujillo. That just was it. It was lustful and passionate in the beginning, and then it just all became, you're one person, I'm another. You're going places that I don't want to go, and two different worlds, and...
Oh yeah. And with me and him, it was just kind of like it just.
Plus, it was a fight for attention with me. I mean, it was, he's a big personality. I'm a big personality. We're both in the limelight. He's used to being only in the limelight, and everybody else is behind him.
Yeah.
I'm not backstage. Thank you.
No.
Yeah.
And that was a big problem with regards to that.
But with he and I, like,
plus I will self admit I cheated before Aver comes out. I cheated on him because if you don't pet this puppy, I don't stay on the porch. So there, that's happened.
Yeah.
And I made it very clear. And I will forever say that. I've admitted he knows that. I've always said that because I never want that to come back, because I'm not painting myself in a wonderful light.
Yeah. Right.
I did not do right, and that's water under the bridge. But it all failed regardless of that as well. I mean, it was.
And with me and him, that was one train that both of us saw crashing, and we're like, I'm just going to stand over there because I don't really want to get hit by that bus. So see you later.
It's a bus that can sing beautifully, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Thank you. I appreciate
that's
that.
That's true.
Not wrong bus.
Sexy.
Wrong bus.
You're sexy.
Wrong bus.
No,
Alfred, you and breakups, talk about it, would you? Cincinnati, are you there?
Yes, exactly.
Poughkeepsie.
One was awful and involved law enforcement officers, and I think we pretty much have this because due to court documents have the same
due to restraining orders.
Way to remember that one.
Nobody can. Yeah, there's he said. He said there.
Yeah, no.
He has to register as an offender, not a sex offender, just an offender.
You're just offensive, sir.
He's verbally offensive to people.
So the one that I always think of is it was quite a few years ago, and young and optimistic, and it started off. It was in my big dating phase where I was dating all the time and quite the social butterfly and was keeping these little relationships going. And then I thought I found this guy that I really, really
liked, everything was good, and then I just realized at a certain point that we weren't we were talking, we were having conversations, we were doing things we liked, but we were not communicating what the other one wanted or needed out of the relationship. And I remember one day being at work being like, you know, he's got like 2 more hours to send flowers or a card or some kind of message here to work. Like I started to like, okay, I'd like a little romance in this shit. Like okay. You need like, it's time.
We're having fun, but let's step it up.
It's time to ring the bell and get romantic. Like, thank you.
Sexy. Get some sexy up
sexy
in here.
Time.
And it really was a lack of communication that I just wasn't saying like, this is nice. We've got all the bases covered, but now we just need to add a little
amp
bit
up
of romance, like, and then we weren't communicating as to what anyone liked in bed. Like, we were just doing it, but we weren't, like, nobody was saying, like,
nobody was enjoying it, really.
No, it wasn't quite grim and cheerless orgasms, but I suddenly understood what the term meant.
Grim or cheerless? Yes.
Both. Yeah, exactly. C. So it was really odd, and so when it came time to break up, because we had never communicated
that
what
it wasn't
we wanted
going well
or what we needed, that we never communicated that it wasn't, that now I was on the bitter side of the curve, right. and so finally I just slept with somebody else because I'm like, but I was like, so had a little fun on the side, and I thought, okay, this is stupid. Like, here's this guy that's doing all these, he really is doing things, just none of them are romantic. They're all just,
they're not the right
mechanical
things for you.
Yeah, right, he's just bringing me vacuum cleaners. Like, no, I'm gonna need a little practical gifts, and I was appreciative. I'm just using it as an example.
Don't disrespect vacuum cleaners that. I'm
ever.
But it was kind of like getting a blender for your birthday. You know what I mean? Like, again, practical.
There's
I'm
nothing
gonna use,
wrong with the blender.
Right. And that was and that's
I
what
got
I'm
a
saying.
I got a photo printer so, this yeah. year.
I see? Love it. See,
see, yeah.
Nah. It's really
there anything
romantic
wrong with them?
And that was the thing.
Like if I get Tupperware for my, I'm fine with that. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah,
because I'll get rid of all the.
And
other
I would
shit.
just don't give me anything,
Aaron. If you give me Tupperware, yeah. I'll
I would
too.
A card. Yeah, just like a nice card.
A nice card. And I don't want a dirty picture. I want something kind of funny or something not nauseatingly romantic. Sweet.
And a gift card to Total Wine.
Yeah, we've got to stand right on.
With a
edge,
large amount.
Slightly
available.
Romantic, mm-hmm. But I don't throw up in the card.
Like you don't want like a penis nose when you open it, you know?
Yeah, and I also don't want some sappy poem about how you can't live without me because then I'm going to have you committed. So it was very
strange. And don't ever, ever, ever let anybody come out of a back room or a restaurant going, happy, happy birthday. I will kill you. I'm on board. Fuck you people. I will get up and leave the restaurant.
And don't call me babe or baby. Wait, or there will be
the
a
the best
death.
Part of those happy, happy birthday all. Songs is that they literally are so depressing. And yeah. I didn't realize that they were going to do one for Palmer's second birthday at the Disneyland restaurant. But like they literally, everyone there is celebrating something. So they go from table to table and they're just like, happy, happy birthday you to you and your mother. Da, da, da.
And
Palmer,
my job sucks.
I have no health care because I work part-time.
This is the first time I'm singing this today. So Palmer, right off your
right, exactly, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Palmer started crying. And then
I would too. I would have taken Palmer and we would have left.
Palmer's like,
why are the sad clowns singing?
Those songs are like the worst.
I hate that.
So to summarize. So when we did an official breakup, an official like, okay, you got to, you know, it's time. You got to get your stuff out of my apartment. I appreciate all this stuff, but. And it's not
leave the vacuum cleaner.
But
the blender.
Here's the tragic part of it, and why it had to end is finally one night in the dark we stumbled on something that he liked sexually, and it was exciting because I'm like, if you just said you like to do that, we could have done that like months ago.
Right. This could have been a lot more fun.
This could have been a lot better because you could tell
did
they were
it involve
like
a vacuum.
You know what I mean? Like.
I'm just trying to get back. I'm sorry. Okay.
So it was just so that I'm like, you got to go. Like we have to be like, we are not talking about what we want out of this.
And so this was the morning after.
Too much,
stumbling.
Too little, too late.
No, that's so funny because that's what I was kind of saying to him, and I kind
did
of
did you sing it like Denise Williams?
I can't remember. Okay, little I'm sorry. Niecy.
Okay.
Sexy.
Very sexy.
We'll listen to that later, y'all. I'll educate you about that song. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Nope, not even a little bit.
But it was very funny. So in the, I could tell in the morning that he thought, wow, we've made some breakthrough. I'm like, we have been at this for way too long for you to finally tell me you like your pee-pee. You know what I mean? Like, nah.
I'm chafed and I'm tired.
Yeah. So to me, it was like kind of a relief to be like, I can't keep guessing what it is you like. Like, we can't stumble upon sexual positions. You got to be able to, like, speak out. Yeah. Raise your hand. Do tell this. Me what you want. Yeah. And I'll say yes or no. Like, suggest some things that I may or may not be agreeable to.
Spin the bottle?
Yeah.
Maybe the bottle will fit.
Where else you put in the bottle? But to him, it was, he was completely blindsided. And he was such a kind of an introvert, shy person.
Well, yeah, that's so funny because especially after kind of like a moment like that, and he wakes up thinking, this is just going in the right direction. And you're like, get your shit and get out.
Yeah, like what else we got? And so I just had to tell him, like, You gotta go. Like, this isn't, and that might have been bad on my part, but I'm like, if we're months, and I mean, we were together quite a while for like him to not bring something up, and but I'm sure to this day he's still like, I guess you have bad sex and he leaves. I mean, you have good sex and he leaves.
Sure.
Mediocre sex is what he was after.
What is
he's just fucking average, literally, now because he doesn't want you to leave.
Just to define, what's you said you've been together for a long time.
I don't know who the hell. I don't want to know what it was.
I don't know. No, that's not my question.
You don't want to know what they stumbled upon.
No, I'm just curious.
And it still wasn't anything terribly exciting. It wasn't something that wouldn't come up in date two.
In our final 4 minutes, what I want, but I maybe I could ask what the follow-up question.
Actually, I have a follow-up.
But this is quickly. You said you'd been together for quite a long time. What in a relationship, what do you consider quite a long time?
Well, for finally getting sex right, I think 8 months in is a long while.
That sex right should be happening
day two. Yeah. Especially since it was something simple like unzip fly. You know what I mean? Like,
well, actually, night one should be your name.
Yeah.
And well, then,
last names are on the second week. Right. But, I mean, that's how basic...
Okay, so pants. Just quickly around there, longest in time wise, longest relationship, Al?
3 years.
Three, Marnie?
9, 10 years.
Rally. Okay, Katie?
Yeah, Kelly and I are over 7 years now.
You're over seven? Mm-hmm. Mine's seven. Yeah. Got it, okay. There was an itch involved at about five.
Yeah. Mine was three, and Cops ended it.
Not the show.
Are we watching Cops?
God, I
won't work my beauty no more.
I wish it would have been the show. I want to Google.
Can
that
you see
right
Al
now.
On Cops?
I want awesome. That on my watch list.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the follow up
breakup episode.
Follow up in three.
So if someone, and it sounds like you're friends with Gina now.
Oh, very close.
Okay. Yeah. So if a friend of yours asked about her, about being interested in her, would you say kind things? Would you encourage it?
Absolutely. Encourage or discourage?
Encourage.
Okay.
100%. Encourage. Not.
Would you share no horror stories of yours? Or?
There's really no horror story. I mean, it just was. It was.
Okay, she just told us the woman was batshit crazy.
That wasn't Gina.
Oh, you were. Oh!
Different. That was not Gina. That was a different
lesbian.
Different relationship.
And that different relationship.
That
now, would you tell someone to go
oh,
get involved with her?
Oh, I'd say run like hell.
Right.
Oh, from the relationship you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. And only...
Oh, and that's what I mean. So from that, I just... Oh, because there's two Ginas, right?
Neon sign. No.
Oh, well, I thought they were both
oddly,
Gina.
She...
Okay. I just will never mention
sexy.
That on him.
Okay, so that's the answer I'm looking for. So for the guy that you were with, even though he...
I have no idea where he is or what he's doing. I don't think he's doing well. I don't know. I don't think I would say anything. I would not have anything positive to say at this point. He hurt me. Oh, he cheated on me a lot and really was hurtful and was verbally abusive.
How do you think he feels about you being a lesbian and screwing around with him? Where's his redemption in
no,
this?
No, he was actually, and actually the really sad part is years, we broke up so long ago, and then after Kelly and I got together, he saw my brother out at the bar, and as a real adult, started giving my brother shit about me dating women. I mean, he's a
douchebag.
He's just a douchebag. Yeah. But he's also been very sick with cancer, so it's kind of hard to It's a whole story.
Wow. So you know how to trump a story.
Well, if we go live to a phone call, let's get on.
I know. And I don't know where he is. So, I would like to know what's going on with him. I think about him often because he was such an important part of my life for a time, and I know he was sick, but it's hard.
But if a friend came up and said, oh, I met this guy, and he introduced you, and would you be like, Oh, yeah, go for it.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I would just... But, you know, I'm sure he's grown up. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the...
That's kind of what I would say. I would say I just don't know.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We were young.
In reference to my first one, yes. I would encourage, but because I think I know him enough now. I know and remember. I could advise somebody what they were getting into and what to expect. Because I still think he's a genuine, wonderful person. I just think... And maybe now, as he's gotten older, he probably understands the smothering less is more. Mm-hmm. Because he is. He's a big-hearted, wonderful guy. He really was. It's just that time frame in our world and our age just didn't work. Not at all.
And I would just say, if somebody said, and a friend of mine actually did date him right afterwards, but we didn't become friends till later, I would just say, he's kind of boring. Like, make him talk.
Sure.
Like, I just didn't, you know.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing negative.
No, to pull that actually, shit out of him, literally.
I have to say, don't make him talk. Make him say something. That would be that would be the problem. Was we were talking, but we weren't saying anything.
Sure, absolutely. Oh,
that sounds almost profound.
It was a little. It was sexy.
We've talked for 3 hours and said virtually nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
We do it every Tuesday from 7 to 10. It's the show. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer. It's Al Perkins. We are here every week. Tuskegee. Thank you very much. Join us every week, if you will, in the chat room. Say hello. We'd love to have you. Oh, we'll be here again next Tuesday, God willing. But we always like to leave you with this warm and fuzzy thought. We will... See you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.